She's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. She knows me through and through, and she knows just what to do and how to please me. She's a lady.
Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE show. Tonight we are starting off a series of podcasts we're going to have with some ex-survivors and ex-Big Brother house guests. And tonight we're starting off with one of the all-time favorites of Big Brother, good friend, sweet, sweet person, and she is connected, and we're going to get to her in just a minute. Should be fun. I hope people that connect tonight we'll have some questions or comments and stuff to talk to her about. Everyone get involved. This is not a show where it's just her and I talking. We get fans involved, and that's what makes it fun. The ex-players get to talk with their fans. You know, it's not I'm not one of these guys that just comes on here and I'm going to hold the mic all night. We don't do it that way. I will be involved. I will be hosting, but this is everybody's podcast. All of the fans get to get involved, and we're going to get that started with one of the most popular Big Brother house guests in the history of this show, Natalie Cuneel. Natalie, I know you're there. How are you doing?
Hi. Hi, everybody. How's it going? Well, I didn't know I was one of the favorites. Thank you for that compliment.
the thing about it, Natalie, is when we started, you know, sending out the promos and stuff, gosh, we're getting a lot of comments and stuff from fans like, oh, my God, she was one of my favorites. I'm going to rewatch that right now. So,
that's so sweet. Thank you.
So you're doing okay?
I'm doing wonderful. Life is great. I am doing
great.
Really good.
How was your visit with your dad yesterday? Was that fun?
It was good, yeah. My dad, he's doing good. You know, he has cirrhosis of the liver, so, you know, his time is kind of limited. We don't know how long he's got. His doctor said he probably should have been gone a couple years ago. So we're just soaking up all the time we can with him, and so I'm bringing the grandkids over, and he just got his kitchen remodeled, so we just had a nice family day. But, you know, we think positive. I get a lot of my positive attitude from my dad. He's a very positive, joyful person, so I think that's helped his spirit and healing and helping him to live longer, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure you and those grandkids are doing the same, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. They're just me. In fact, hi.
I mean, you've got a lovely family, and I know he has to be very proud, and it probably warms his heart when he gets to see those grandkids.
Oh, yes. It's so much fun. I'm so thankful. I'm so blessed. I just absolutely love being a mother. It's like a dream come true. So, yeah, I just soak it up and just enjoy all of it. The messes, the screaming, the loud noises, just all of it. The begging for things at the store, you know. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I've got gobs of energy for it, and I'm just soaking it up because time goes by way too fast. I can't even get over it.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you something real quick about your season.
Okay.
One of the biggest topics that came up after the season was over is what Adam and Maddie got into.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you have any, maybe women's intuition that maybe those two guys were maybe trouble?
I mean, I didn't sense trouble from Adam at all. You know, I mean, Maddie, I knew he was trouble. You know, I mean, come on. It's written all over his face and all over his attitude. Like, I knew right away. I was like, oh, this guy. You know, of course. But I didn't know that they were going to be getting into anything like that. I mean, I was completely shocked when I found out what happened.
Yeah.
With
Adam, it was like, you know, the pills and the taxes and stuff. Maddie's even involved some abuse to a pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. You know, I don't know. I tend not to try to get into too much drama, you know, and I haven't really talked to Matt, like, personally. So I don't know. I know that wasn't that a long, long time ago, and I think I remember hearing something about it, but I don't know exactly all the details, and I don't remember really getting in, you know, reading about it. I remember seeing something about it, but I didn't really get a ton of information. So I'm not sure what exactly happened with all of that.
Well, what was reported was, you know, the girlfriend was pregnant, and he and her got into some kind of argument, and he made this is all on a police report. He made a statement.
Uh-huh.
He wished that she would have an abortion. The baby was dead. And she said she wasn't going to do that, and he got mad. And who knows, he may have been strung out on something. I don't know. But he grabbed her around the neck. And then she tried to fight back, and he put her in a headlock and was hitting her in the head and in her arms. And the cops came out, and they saw bruising and stuff to kind of support her story. So that's why.
Huh. God, that's horrible. I don't remember all that.
That's why he went down for that, was because there was kind of physical proof.
Uh-huh. I thought it was always because of the drugs. You know, I remember the drugs, and I do remember hearing about the story.
Yeah, he was involved with that, too. But then he, you know, and happy ending to the story, the girl had the baby, and it was healthy, and everything worked out for her. So, but, he got involved with Adam.
The girl he's married to? Is it the girl he's married to? I know he just had a baby with the girl he's married to. So you mean to tell me Maddie has another child out there?
Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, way, way back then, Natalie. Way, way back then.
So how old is this child? I've never seen pictures of her.
I don't know. He's never talked about her?
I
mean, how many years ago has that been now?
I mean, I have no idea. It's got to be like at least 9 or so, I would think, because, I mean, I got out of Big Brother house in 2008.
So the child has to be 8, 9, or – yeah, the child has to be 8, 9, or 10.
He's never mentioned anything. I mean, I don't really talk too much to him. I mean, it's mostly just through social media and just a quick hello, but I don't really – yeah, I had no idea. I'll have to talk to him sometime.
Yeah.
I'm just so busy with my life and being a mom, and you know, I've got lots of family. You know, my mother's living with me now, and she's got all kinds of health problems, so she's living with me. That's a long, long story, but the whole, she's better. She's better now. I basically helped her get better. I had to sober her up. She had addictive, you know, she was a smoker and a drinker, and she has had open heart surgery, had a breast removed for cancer, has COPD, has atrial fibrillation.
Wow.
I mean, mental health problems, all kinds of problems. And so she just called us a year ago and said she felt like she was going to die and someone to come pick her up. And so I went and picked her up, and I realized my mom smelled like vodka. And she had been drinking a ridiculous amount of alcohol and smoking like a pack of cigarettes a day on top of all these health problems. Oh, my gosh. So I was like, Mom, that's it. I'm going to bring you to my house, and we're going to sober you up. This is a sober zone. This is a wealth. This is a health and wellness center. This is Natty's positive, high-vibe health and wellness center. We're going to get you better. And she really thought she was going to die. I mean, she's like, what if I don't get better? And I was just like, well, then if you don't get better, Mom, you're just going to die here with me. And then, you know, when she was like, really trying to get her off the cigarettes and the alcohol, she just kept saying, oh, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do with myself? I have nothing to do. I said, you're going to live gratefully, Mother. I'm not gambling with your life anymore. You are going to live gratefully. You're going to be thankful for every single day God gives you on this earth. That's what you're going to do.
Right.
And
see,
you're
a caretaker.
Oh, you know.
I mean, that's your personality. You're a caretaker.
It is.
And what I like about that, is you're doing things that I have done also. You're giving back to someone who gave so much to you when you were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right thing to do.
Right. That's the way people need to look at it. They don't need to say, oh, my God, my mom's screwed up, and my dad, you know, and
oh, it's
try
hard,
to...
you know. It's hard, and I have breakdowns. I'm like, oh, my God, please, God, give me the strength for this, you know. I mean, this is mentally tough, spiritually, physically, on top of raising 3 little children all under the age of 9. I mean, I was at a point where I was showering my mother. I mean, I had to call 911 like 6 different times, and she's having convulsions. Her heart is, I mean, she looks like she's dying. I'm shoving baby aspirin in her mouth and, you know, bringing her back to, I mean, she just was turning blue. I mean, I had the ambulance come pick her up. I mean, it was just, I mean, it was a lot. And I don't share a lot of my personal, you know, things on Facebook and stuff, because I don't really like to, you know, I mean, there's so much sadness and tragedies and hard things going on in the world, and there's just so much of it. I don't want to add to it. All I want to do is just help uplift the planet and raise the vibration of humanity. We need to keep positive and be grateful for our life, because we're here for such a short amount of time. And it's
Amen.
Like, you know, we have to make the best of it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just pray and I think positive, and it works.
Another thing about the Facebook fans, Natalie, are like the members of Big Brother Whispers, and we've got Big Brother Whispers, we've got Survivor Whispers, Sports Whispers, we got a Survivor Spoiler Group, Survivor Whispers Premiere, but the people in Big Brother Whispers, they know the Big Brother people that are in there, because like, if I do a post or something and I tag you in it, you always show up and reply. And
Oh, yeah.
they They love that. They respect you for that.
I love it. I mean, it was just a wonderful experience I had, and just have people still remember me and, you know, still love me all these years later and support me. It means a lot. So I always want to at least try to show some love back if I can.
All right. Well, listen, we've got kind of a special caller. He's going to be calling from the furthest place away tonight. So I'm going to get him on here first.
Okay.
And I know the question he's going to ask you, and it's a good one, because it happened on your season, and it was very, very scary. Michael Doyle is calling in from the Philippines to talk to you.
Oh, wow.
And where he's at, it's already tomorrow morning.
Right.
So the world does not end tonight, okay?
Right,
so Michael Doyle. You are on with Natalie. Are you still there, Michael? Did you get disconnected?
Doyle, you can unmute yourself.
Well, if he's...
There, is that better now?
Yeah, you're on with Natalie. You're on with Natalie, and she's waiting for that really good question from you from her season.
Okay, and please ignore the roosters in the background, Natalie. I'm living on my property, so.
Okay.
All right, so on your season, I'm a huge fan of yours, by the way. We chatted back and forth in Big Brother Whispers, and so anyways. In your season... there was somebody that that fell and had a seizure, and then you're walking with her. On TV, that kind of like is portrayed differently, and they edit it differently. Was it like as scary like watching it from like beside the person? Like, how did that feel for you? And like, how did I think it was James that reacted and helped you out? But how was the whole situation for you? Like.
Well, it was really strange because, you know, she was telling me in the kitchen that she wasn't feeling good. She was feeling a little lightheaded. And I thought, well, maybe you need to eat something, because I know she hadn't been eating. And can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Can everybody hear me? Okay, good. For some reason, I heard a ding, and I don't know what that was. Okay. So she wasn't feeling good, and, you know, she told me she wasn't feeling good. That's when I was like, well, maybe you should eat a cookie, you know, but she couldn't have the cookie or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's good. So I was like, that's not very nice. She can't eat, the poor thing, you know, and I'm eating a cookie. Like, cool. Anyhow, but, and I thought, well, maybe it's just because we're just tired and, you know, just exhausted from all the drama or whatever, you know. I said, well, maybe let's just go lie down, you know. Let's just go lie down, because that's what you usually need to do if you feel lightheaded. Just go rest from it. Listen to your body. So as we start walking that way, but then, you know, I'm also thinking in the back of my head, because we were both on the block, I'm thinking, is this some kind of a game play? Like, if she feels weak and sick, you know, everybody will keep the sick one, you know? So I'm kind of thinking that in the back of my head, too. So then when we start walking and she falls right in front of me, I honestly... I didn't know what to think. I was like, wait a minute, is this game? Like, did she really? I literally thought it was game. I thought she was, like, just pretending at first. But then it dawned on me, oh, my God, she's not. Like, this is real. I've never seen somebody faint like that in front of me before. So, I was more or less state of shock. Like, what is going on here? Is this real? You know?
How long was she away? Like, when the nurse and doctors took her, how long was she away?
Well, so as soon as she, you know, I realized that she was, you know, this was real, I ran. I mean, I'm thinking, hello, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. But I ran to the back, and I opened the back door, and I'm like, you guys, Amanda fainted. Someone help. You know, and that's when James came running. So she was down for at least, I want to say, I mean, who knows? I mean, 15 seconds, and it could be longer than that, could be shorter. I mean, but I was fast as I could go, you know, and he comes running in. But the nurse came in, I'd say within, you know, a few seconds after James was holding her. You know, she came busting through the diary room door. She had just got done with Allison, because Allison had a reaction to a peanut. So she had a peanut allergy, and her throat was filling up, and she needed an EpiPen at the exact same damn time. Like, well, what are the chances?
We needed medical
everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? People are dropping like flies around here.
And that's the thing. That's the thing too, Natalie. I suffer from seizures too, so I just want to say thank you for like what you did for her. And next time you talk with James, just to let him know, you know, it is serious thing too. So I just want to say thank you so much for that. Like I've had it, and I've been in coma too. So you know, it is a rough thing. So you guys, you guys did really good, and that seizure was one of my
it was scary. It's scary. I literally had never, I didn't know what to think because, again, I was in a house and a game and it wasn't, you know, not like real life. You're playing a game show, these people acting. I don't know them 100%. You know, what's going on? You have all these thoughts just racing through your head in the middle of like 5 seconds, you know, you're just going through this with it. And then you realize, no, this is not a joke. She is really not okay.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you know what?
Everybody
like,
turned out all right.
But you know what? To your credit, and I know looking back on it, you're like, I'm sure you've had times when you've thought, why did I think that? My God, the girl was sick. But to your credit, being inside a house like that, thinking maybe somebody is just pulling that as a move, I mean, there's a lot of people that would have thought that.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're both up on the block together. You know, it looked like, you know, me and Maddie were hoping to stay. It looked like we were getting the votes. I mean, I just didn't have, you know, here, I'm just thinking. I mean, I don't know. This isn't, like, normal. And I've never had someone faint in front of me like that before, ever. So I didn't know how to process all of it.
Right. All right, I'm going to get another caller on here now. I'm going to get another caller on here now that I spoke to earlier today on the phone. And she is so thrilled you are here tonight. Kansas.
Oh, good.
Say hi to Natalie.
Oh, my goodness. Natalie, I will always love you.
Who's
you were just, you're one of my all-time favorites. I got to talk to you many years ago on Michelle Costa's show, but I will never, ever forget you, how special you were.
Thank you. What's
you
your
went
name?
So
who
much
am I talking to?
My name is Kansas.
Kansas.
Just like the state. Just like the state.
Oh, Kansas.
Just like the state. Everybody calls me Kansas.
Awesome.
My girlfriend, you just radiated such a beauty. Because that was, I'll tell you, that was a crazy season.
Yes.
And I do not consider it that, because so many times, you know, you would hear people say, oh, that was one of the worst or whatever. And no, it wasn't.
Right.
I think the newer ones.
It wasn't.
Because if I would ask you a question, that would be, you know, if you still watch Big Brother, what you think of it today. But I think that your season and all the older ones, truthfully, were the best. But everything,
I agree,
I mean, 100%. I have such, girlfriend, I could talk to you forever. But, I mean, I remember season 9 and so many things that happened and how you were always so positive, you know. And just, you really, honestly, this. And for people that don't know, this lovely lady is the greatest artist.
Amen.
She does
you.
The most magnificent.
Amen.
Oh, Natalie, I've seen your paintings. First it was the mermaids.
You.
And then the celebrities, and I mean, my goodness, they are spot on.
Thank
you are
you
such
so
a
much.
Talent. And remember during the show how you did pictures? She did pictures of the cast with nail polish. You guys, this
you know
girl
how
is
they do,
amazing.
You know how they do the, you know how they do the comic book covers now? She could have done that back then.
Natalie,
yeah, for sure.
Seriously, you're such a talent. Besides being such a beautiful person, you're such a talent.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know,
and
it's funny because
pictures
when I was
of
on...
you. I saw pictures, you know, a long time ago. I'm sure your kids are so grown up now, but I remember when they were babies and they looked like you with your beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah,
such a beautiful, honestly. And just knowing you, how sweet you are, I guarantee, I can just guess what a wonderful mother you are. Seriously.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Kansas. I really appreciate all the
love
you're
you.
Giving me.
I love you. You're just so special, girlfriend.
You.
You really are.
Thank
for
you.
The people,
well, it's funny that
for
you
the people
said,
on Facebook,
hi.
If you will go follow her or friend her or whatever on Facebook, she has a great cover photo of her husband, and the kids, and it's It's beautiful. It's just like
Natalie. I'm so happy for you. You deserve.
You
deserve a beautiful life. And thank goodness you weren't with Maddie, because Maddie was something else. I'll tell you.
Well, everything happens for a reason.
And I'm not surprised him to hear about how abusive, you know, he ended up being, because he was abusive to Natalie. It wasn't where he was physically abusive.
Yeah,
he was mentally abusive. It was terrible.
You know, my one thing my grandma always taught me was to, even if people are really nasty and abusive, whatever they are, I'm not going to let that affect me. I am not going to change who I am, and I will still respect people and treat them with kindness, because you've got to help them heal with love. Doing what they do to me back is not going to hurt. So my grandma always taught me, you've got to kill them with kindness. You know, you got to really just kill them with kindness. And that's what I do. And if people who personally know me in my life, they know my personality, and I'm the kind of person, if you tell me you don't like me and I'm annoying or whatever, then I'm just going to bother you more with my positive energy. And
that's so beautiful about you.
You know,
and that's what we saw in the house. It's true.
Yeah.
And there were so many.
That's what I do.
There's a lot of people, they don't react well to that. When Chelsea, when you made those beautiful eggs, Natalie, you took the time to make those beautiful eggs, and she just smashed them to bits. Oh, I wanted to go in that house and just get her. I was so angry.
I know. I know it. Tell me about it. I was just like, she's just jealous. You know, jealousy is a low vibration.
But you know what, girlfriend? You got the love of Jesus all over you.
That's right.
And
yep,
it's
true.
It's a beautiful thing. And you just shine.
Thank you.
You just keep continuing to shine your beauty and your
love.
And we all love you.
Oh, it's funny. Oh, thank you. I love everybody back, because I feel the love. I'm very sensitive to energies, and I just absolutely love it. And I haven't done one of these chats in so long, and so it feels great, and it's so wonderful to know that I still have inspired people and made them feel good, because, you know, when I was auditioning for the show, that was one thing they asked me, was why I wanted to go on the show. And I said, I am so sick of people going on these reality TV shows and being so nasty to each other. Why can't people just be a hard competitor with a positive attitude, have fun, and just freaking compete and just try to outsmart and outwit each other or whatever you need to do? But why do you have to be so vile and nasty? I mean, you're just exposing your own inner psychological problems. You know, it's not right. And so when Evil Dick won season 8, I was like, that's it. I've had it with this show. I'm going on there right now. I've had it. What is the show, people? You treat people like crap. You win $500,000. I've had it with them. So then I downloaded the application. I printed it up, and, you know, I just started the process. But when they asked me to in the audition, I said, that's why. I want to show people that you can have a positive attitude, you can love Jesus and God, and you can compete with a good heart, and you don't have to be nasty or a bitch or anything. You could be cool and funny and whatever, and that's what I wanted to do. And what's really funny about it is one of the, I believe he was the CEO of, no, he wasn't the CEO. He was one of the head production guys of Big Brother, and he was a Chinese guy. He was so funny. He looks at me during audition. This is like probably 2 weeks before I got chosen or whatever, because it was a 3-month process. And he looks at me and goes, you know what? You are so positive that you're going to end up kicking yourself out, because you're not going to be able to take it. And I said, I don't think so, buddy. I'm so positive, I'm going to drive everybody nuts. They're going to want to hit the exit button themselves to escape. All right? And, you know, and he's like, you'll be the first one kicked out. You know, and I said, no way, buddy. I'm going to make it to the end. You watch. Right? And then so finally when I got evicted, they all greet you, all the producers and, you know, the host of the show or whatever. Not Julie Chen. I mean, you meet her, but you meet, like, all the producers and stuff. And they all, you know, tell you what a good game you played or whatever. Well, here he comes. I can't remember his name. Here comes my favorite, you know, Chinese guy that we were talking with about how I'm going to be the first one kicked out and, you know, all this stuff. And I looked at him, and I look at him, and he looks at me, and he opens up his arms, and I said, well, it looks like I lasted a lot longer than you thought. And he looks at me and he goes, I wanted you to win.
Oh,
and then he gave me a
big
hug.
I said that to Jim earlier. I wanted it so badly to be either you or Sheila. I was rooting for you two ladies, and it just it upsets me who did win. You know, I heard he got his act together, and I really hope he did, but that was just the biggest waste. You know, you want to see the money go to someone that really would have deserved it, really put some good to it. And to me, it just was such a waste. It's so awful.
Well, something,
it's too bad.
Something
it really
I can,
is.
Something I can throw out there to everyone that's listening or who's going to listen back, because we've been posting on Natalie's Facebook account all day at all the different places they can listen to this if they couldn't make it tonight. I'd like to get Natalie's thoughts on this. Another guest who's coming pretty soon is Sheila Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah,
we talk. You know, we've talked up through social media and stuff.
I talked to her 3 or 4 days ago, Natalie, and she wants to do the pod, and but she's getting over COVID right now.
But
she's supposed to call me tomorrow and talk about doing the pod. So I lived a lot of years in Memphis, and I always called her my Memphis girl. So because that's where she was from. So what do you think? You think Sheila's gonna make for a good guest too?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, Sheila and I are still, you know, we're fine. We're totally fine. I mean, I wouldn't say we're good friends, but you know, I haven't seen her in years. I mean, I haven't seen anybody really in years. But yeah, I love Sheila. I have no problem with Sheila. I mean, you know, it's a game move. She did what she thought was best, you know. And I mean, yeah, I was betrayed and heartbroken, but I was more mad at myself because, you know, I didn't listen to my intuition. You know, I could feel it, and I didn't listen, you know. And it's like, so that's one lesson I took away from Big Brother is, if, you know, the first thought is usually correct. Whatever you feel in your gut, whatever you feel in your soul and in your intuition, that's usually the choice that you need to make. And I felt in my soul to stay up there, and I didn't listen. I kept thinking, the next week ahead, but
Natalie,
if she kicks out so-and-so, you know, so I learned a big lesson. Always listen to your intuition.
Yeah.
I have always been told that, Natalie, and I think it's true, because running all these groups and doing all these pods and this and that, you know, sometimes we'll get questionable members that make you wonder, should you let them stay in there or whatever? And my fellow mods have always told me, Jim, trust your instincts and your gut, because 99% of the time you're right.
Yep. Your soul knows things that your mind can't really grasp yet, and you just need to trust that, you know, and let that guide you.
Right. All right, well, let me get another caller on here who has
Kansas.
I love you, Natalie. Thank you for coming on.
Love you. Thank you.
We'll have Kansas back later. She's not going anywhere.
But we're
going to bring somebody on now that is one of your all-time fans. I think he even told me today you were probably his favorite player ever. And he also loves that artwork, too. Daniel Sykes,
nice.
Welcome back to the Missy AE podcast.
Daniel.
Hey,
hi,
Natalie.
Daniel.
How are you?
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I got your paintings here hanging on the wall right here in front of me.
Oh, that's right. I know you've got a couple of them, right? Like two or three?
Yes, they do. One in memory of my parents, and one in memory of my time in college.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, cool.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you still have them and love them.
He told me about those today, and I said, well, one thing I can tell you is if she did them, they're good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I can tell you, Jim.
Daniel,
I'm
sure you got questions for Natalie.
Well, of course, when you're in the house, of course, you played hide and seek, you did the nail polish paintings and all. Is there anything that was, like, the most favorite fun thing for you to do? Because you did a lot of fun things. You did so many different creative things in the house. What was, like, something that was the most fun that you just brought out of the house that you, like, I mean, you could still do nail polish paintings for all we know, but I know
the other
type of paintings you do, but.
Yeah, no, my absolute favorite was the hide and seek. That was probably my favorite night in the house. Oh, my God, I was dying laughing. I mean, I hadn't played hide and seek since a child. What am I doing here with these grown men playing hide and seek? And then, of course, you know, my silly bum. Like, of course, my knee would show. Here I'm thinking I'm perfectly hidden in a laundry basket and nobody can see me. And I should have known that everybody was sitting messing with me. Like, hello, what's taking them so long? And all of them walking past, like, I should have known, of course. You know, that's the kind of stuff that happens to me. That's like the 27-letter alphabet. Like, you know, I'm so gullible and I get so excited about things that sometimes these little, like, slip-ups or accidents happen and it ends up just being comedy gold. So, yeah, the hide-and-seek was absolutely hysterical. I was laughing for the whole thing, man. I just loved it so much. It was so funny. It still makes me laugh if I watch clips of the hide-and-seek.
So who in your family is the best hide-and-seeker now?
You know, it is funny that... I actually, my kids love it. This is one of their favorite games. I always tell them that I'm going to come get them. And what I do is I say, who wants to get stinkered? I'm going to get somebody. Who am I going to get? And I go running after all three of them. And as soon as they run away from me, I take off the opposite direction and I go and hide. And they have to come find me. And then I pop up and I pop out wherever I am and I just like, you know, I'm going to come get you. And they run off again. And we do this, you know, for like 20 minutes or so. But like, so it's just, you know, as soon as I'm going to get you and they come darting away from me. No, don't get us. You know, and then as soon as they run away from me, I turn around the opposite direction and I run somewhere quick in the house to hide. So that's fun. So I'd say I'm probably the best hider.
I think that would wear me out because I have a few more kids than you do, so I think I would probably end up laying down and they would find me.
Yeah. It is tiring. I get exhausted. I mean, and they could do this all day, you know?
Dan, yeah. You got anything else you want to add right now? We'll come back to you later, but do you have anything else right now?
No, not right now. I just want to say thank you, Natalie, for the paintings and everything. We continue to talk throughout the years. So
oh, yeah,
I just want to
absolutely.
Say...
Yes, thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you calling to say hi again. I was hoping you would because I know you always come to these, and I've even been on your podcast before.
Right.
A long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were.
It was on my birthday.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So, see, you were his birthday present. You didn't even have to pop out of a cake.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, let me go right now to somebody else who claims they got really, really lucky to be off work tonight so they could talk to you. Alexis.
Oh, that's nice.
Alexis, you got for Natalie? You're on with Natalie.
I mean, I'm going to go with just a general question, just because I took note that nobody from Big Brother 9 has ever returned. If given that opportunity, would you go back on the show, given how much it's changed?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's been so long now, I honestly don't even think they would ask. I think if they would have asked me, it would have been the last All-Star season. I mean, I don't know. I would love the opportunity, but I've kind of just put it in my past now. Like, well, you know, that was my reality experience, and that's that. But they've pretty much, I feel like they've kind of shunned Big Brother 9 because I heard we're like the tainted season because of what Maddie and Adam did. So I heard they don't want anything to do with Big Brother 9. So I don't know if they would ever ask me or ever want me on any kind of show ever again. I mean, I have no idea. But, I mean, if they did ask me, I would love to. And I would love to bring back old-style BB gameplay back, like this new-age BB, whatever they're doing now, this whole Follow the Leader, Whole House Alliance stuff. Like, that stuff's got to go. That's boring.
Yeah.
And it's predictable.
Yeah.
And it's really ruining the game. Like, the whole, you know, the fun was it, like, the blindsides and the backstabs and the house division and all of that. But now it's like a whole one-sided, everybody, let's all come to an agree. Let's all agree together. What are you doing?
Well, it's kind of like now you get, and it didn't start with the cookout. There's a lot of people that blame them. It started before them.
Way before them. I'd say like BB 17 or something. 16 even. I don't even remember really.
Get this big gang of numbers and let's just coast through and.
Yeah,
and,
that's boring.
We'll
and it doesn't make for, you know. Yeah, it's not like, don't you want to challenge yourself? I mean, what do you want to, what do you want to just be, want to be, win for convenience and just easy and coast? Like, where's the fun, you know, game plans and strategy and, you know, and blindsides? I mean, I even like Big Brother Canada better because I feel like, you know, like, I don't know if you guys saw, you know, this last Big Brother Canada, but the guy that won, he was wonderful. I actually liked him. I mean, I normally don't like villains, but I loved his gameplay and how he was willing to make bold moves and flip things, like, you know?
Yeah, I definitely watched the Big Brother Canada, and another guy that's probably going to come on for a question, him and I were both Team Kevin this entire time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Big Brother Canada fans, and I know the first person that we put on to talk to you tonight, Michael Doyle, he even has applied for Big Brother Canada.
Oh, wow.
But now he's in the Philippines.
Cool.
He's chasing love, Natalie. He's got a wife there, and they're trying to get together and figure out where they're going to live. So.
Oh yeah, my dad has a Filipino wife. She's here now from the Philippines with her 14-year-old daughter. They've been together for almost 10 years. So, yeah,
wow.
They've got a house in the Philippines. My dad has another house over there and stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm hoping maybe someday I can visit over there. It'd be cool to check it out, to travel.
Yeah.
They filmed
Survivor there, and from what they've shown on Survivor, it was beautiful there.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what my mother-in-law says. It's really beautiful and tropical and warm all the time,
yeah.
And she's got lots of tropical fruits growing and all kinds
of
stuff.
Yeah, Michael, you're back now. You can speak to that.
Yeah.
You told me about the fruits and stuff.
Yeah, and then I'm pulling Ozzy by going free diving. I'm catching fresh fish every couple days with Papa. We got roosters on our property. We're raising animals fresh. Yeah, so it's like I'm living Survivor, so it's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Well,
I love it. I want to farm someday with
good.
Roosters and chickens. That's cool.
All right. We're going to bring on another caller now. And Natalie, she happens to be one of our co-hosts on our Big Brother recap pods that we do this summer. After the show, the next night, I think it is, they do a podcast here, and she's one of the hosts, and they recap what happened on the show and what they know from the live feeds. So, Melissa, you're here. And I think once this season gets going, we might want to ask Natalie, are you watching? Do you know these people? And if you are, you want to come back on the pod and tell us what you think?
Yeah,
that would,
I would
be a really
to.
Good idea. Call in and hi. Just call in and touch base and what are you thinking? What are your thoughts about it? Yeah.
I'll probably watch it. I usually watch it, any kind of shows that I watch, I have to do it after I put the kids to bed and when I go to my art room. It's usually about 10 o'clock is when I start painting and putting on my, you know, god-awful reality shows that I love to obsess and, you know, watch, binge watch.
Natalie, you want to dispel a rumor right now?
Sure.
A lot of fans think, oh, all those ex-house guests, they get free feeds. And you don't, do you?
They're just what?
A lot of fans think all the ex-Big Brother house guests get free live feeds every year, and that's not true, is it?
No, nope, it's not true. Now, at first, we did in, like, what was it, you know, right after my season – you know, season 10, season 11, I think it was up till maybe season 12, maybe 11 or 12, but then after that, no more live feeds. Nobody, you know, get live feeds for free. You would have to pay for it. And I remember going into a couple chat rooms sometimes and people didn't believe it was me. I'm like, you guys, like, why am I going to make it up? No, this is me. Hello, what's going on? I was like, all right, I'm not wasting my time and energy on this. You guys are ridiculous. Go to my Twitter. Go to my Twitter, everybody. You want me to go tweet real quick to prove it's me?
Okay, Melissa, you got any questions or comments for Natalie?
No. I was just going to say that our podcast will probably be on Friday night.
We'll Friday
do that
night?
Because it'll be after the week has ended with the eviction on Thursday night. And then
right.
We get together and recap the whole week. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so just so you know, we're going to be podcasting on Friday night, so just feel free
okay,
to call
cool.
in.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's
yep.
getting close.
Yeah.
A question, Natalie. You talked about if you were asked back, you would jump right in. There's another show right now called The Challenge.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to have a CBS version this year featuring ex-survivors, ex-Big Brother house guests, and
ex-Love
Island contestants.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of cross-casting with MTV now. Could
mm-hmm.
you get into something like that if you were asked to do that?
You know, I've only seen little clips of The Challenge. I've actually never watched The Challenge. I mean, I've seen little clips, and I don't know, it's just too, I don't know, kind of hostile. Like, it seemed like a lot of hostility. I mean, the clips that I saw was people in each other's faces and stuff. Like, you know, I don't like all that. It's just too aggressive, and it's just, so I mean, I like Big Brother, but it's not all, like, I feel like it's just shouting at each other, at least the clips that I saw. I don't know if the whole show is like that. And then I saw a couple clips of, like, the competitions or whatever, but I actually haven't really, you know, watched the show or grasped it or understood what's going on. I know that Big Brother house guests have been on and stuff, but I haven't really, so I don't know if I would do that or not. I mean, I honestly don't think they would call me back. I mean, I feel like after all these years, it's been 14 years, you know, I don't know. They just don't like us Big Brother 9 players. It's like, you know, they just, I mean, they know where I'm at. They know where I'm at.
That's true.
They know where I am. They could call me anytime, you know, and ask me.
That's true.
So,
has there never ever been contact since you left?
Nope, not at all. Nope, not none at all. I mean, I'm friends with some of them, you know, the producers or whatever on Facebook, but no contact at all. Just like, bye, live your life. And, you know, they told us that when we left. They're like, okay, now your life is going to go back to normal. Yeah.
That kind
I mean,
of surprises
it, I wouldn't say
me.
Went back to normal, but.
Yeah,
raising
that kind
your
of
hand
surprised
here.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you after the show was over, you know, the finale was over, how long did it take you to kind of get that out of your system and decide, I'm not going to be some ex-Big Brother house guest that tries to just be a star on Twitter being a ex-Big Brother house guest? I'm going to move on with my life?
I think probably a couple years after. I mean, I was still kind of in the, you know, it's almost like surreal. It's very surreal. You still can't believe you were on it, and you're still kind of loving all the fans and everybody, you know, talking and being a part of it and stuff. But, you know, I'd say I'd probably let it go after a couple years. I was like, yeah, you know, if it happens, it does. If it doesn't, fine. Because in 2013, I ended up having a baby, so I was pregnant in 2012. And at that point, I knew I wouldn't want to leave little baby. You know, I was
right.
like, no, I don't want to leave a little baby. I love my babies. I want to soak up this time with my children. So I didn't think I would go back anytime soon having a child. And then I had another one. And so I just embraced being a mother in this stage of my life. I mean, I had my experience. If they call back, they call back. If they don't, whatever. It was a part of my life, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful life-changing experience, and I'll never forget it, you know. And it was wonderful. I mean, I have memories today. I mean, the other day I was at the park with the kids. A week ago, I took the children to the park, and I'm pushing them on the merry-go-round, and this lady's looking at me on the bench, and she's looking at me, and she's looking at me, and then she goes, excuse me. She goes, can I ask you a question? And I was like, sure, what's up? She's like, are you Natalie from Big Brother? And I said, yeah. And she's like, what? She's like, that is crazy. She's like, I just finished watching your season on Paramount Plus. I literally just finished it. I'm on season 10 now. How did I run into you here? You know, it's like, and so we had a nice long chat for an hour, but it's just hilarious that all these years later, you know, some random person at a park is just like thinking she's tripping.
and you know, that's probably going to happen more times, Natalie. It does.
It happens all the time. You'd be surprised. I've had people drop what they're doing at the grocery store. What? I was just wearing my husband in the car. I wonder if we're going to see Natalie here. And then we go to Fred Meyer's and here you're Natalie, you know, taking pictures of me at the grocery store or whatever. It's just hilarious.
when you were on, you and Matt proved to be a very strong couple during the twist. You won two POVs.
Uh-huh.
The first came
at
week
HOH.
One. Yeah. The second veto came in week three. POV in week three. Was that part of y'all's strategy? Did you think,
well,
hey, we can out physical these people. We can win challenges. And at what point did you think maybe we need to back off a little bit and play more socially?
So the very first challenge with the heart pillows and the beds, you know, and the cables being lifted above the beds, the very first one, we had the discussion that we did not want to win that very first one. And that was the one that Parker and Jen won. It was the very first, you know, that night competition. And we had talked with each other and said, no, we don't want to win this one. Let's just stay up here long enough until we feel safe. Like, we already made some bonds with some people, you know, so we just wanted to see who would drop first, and whoever's left hanging up there, we'll make a decision if we want to drop or not. You know, but I didn't want to act like I was just giving up or whatever, so I wanted to act like I was still fighting and trying. You know, I don't want to be like such a, you know, knuckle under and just, you know, just give up right away. So we wanted to stay up there for as long as we could, and then once it came down to Parker and Jen, well, we knew we were cool with Parker and Jen, and we're like, cool. Well, yeah, you guys can have it. Plus, you have the pillow. You get the money. You know, we knew that they weren't going to kick us out. So that one we definitely knew we didn't want to win. The second one was the one with the boats and the you know, the questions where we had to come out with the costumes and all this stuff. And that one I was debating in my head. Now, Maddie really wanted to win, but I was kind of battling in my head, do I really want to win this one? Because, it came down to Amanda and Alex. And me and Maddie. And Amanda and Alex, again, we were really good. You know, I was cool with them. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I really want to, you know, win this one. And I thought Maddie would probably come out in a rocker costume because he knew I liked rock music. I told him. So I knew that he could probably come out in a rocker, but I was like, I don't know if I want to do it because, I mean, if they win, I don't want to do the dirty work just yet, you know? And so I decided to just say the athlete instead. And then I told Maddie about it. He was glad later that I didn't, you know, say rocker, but he was mad for, why did you say rocker? You know I was going to come out as rocker. You knew I was going to come out as a rocker. I said, I know, man, but come on, dude, it's Amanda and Alex. They can do it. They're not going to get rid of us, you know? And so we figured that we would be fine with that one. And the next week, you know, Chelsea, I think, and James won, and then Amanda and Alex were put up on the block. You know, I mean, I think we were too, and luckily that was the veto that we won. But and I knew I was such a physical threat that I had to balance that out. So I just wanted to play extra gullible and naive and dumb. I wanted people to think that I was dumber than a box of rocks. I was not going to be capable of making any decisions on my own. And in fact, Maddie, you're so cocky and arrogant, I'm going to let you be in charge. And that way, if anybody gets mad at us, they're going to turn to you, not
That's
me.
That's good strategy. That's really good strategy.
So I just wore my pigtails, you know, had my gullible moments with 27 letters in the alphabet, which played perfect to the part. At least if they think I'm dumber than a box of rocks, they won't kick me out. I might be physical, but I won't win anything mental, right?
Well, then later in the season, like up around week five, you end up forming an alliance with Sheila, Adam, and Ryan.
Yeah, had to be done.
How did that come to be? Because that was a pretty good alliance.
Yeah, well, it had to be done. We were, I mean, the house was divided. Chelsea, James, Sharon, and Josh, we knew were a four. They were a foursome. They had chosen to go together. We knew that. We were the other ones that were left. It was like, okay, well, we got to have to bond together. Otherwise, we're going to be picked off one by one. So it's a numbers game. We have to stay strong together. We've got to stick with at least four. If it's four on four or five on four or whatever, if we can, because Maddie, I think, was still there at that point. Maddie was kind of involved, but that was right before.
Yeah, and that was the other thing is, why was Maddie not in that with you?
Well, he was, I think he was at first. It was, you know, Maddie, Ryan, the boys or whatever, Adam, and then Sheila and Adam were together, and then it was me. But then the house somehow, I don't remember exactly what happened, and then Maddie, they all wanted Maddie out, so they backdoored Maddie. I think it was because James backdoor him? I think it's been so long. James did backdoor him. And so, and then he got kicked out, and that's when we were like, okay, now we have to be together as a four, because otherwise we're just going to get picked off.
Right.
So they made their choice, you know. I mean, they're the ones that did it, you know. They were the ones that chose each other. So we were like, well, I guess we're together now. Team Christ, what's up?
Yeah, and another crazy thing about that season, which a lot of fans don't like now, are on Survivor and Big Brother, all the crazy twists. But your season, earlier, you had been after James, who got evicted early, like week four, but he comes back as part of a twist, and he becomes hard to get out. So what were you thinking at that point? It's like, hey, we got rid of this guy.
I know.
Days
everybody
ago,
asked
and here
me
he is
why
again?
The hell did you yeah. Everybody always asks me, why did you vote him out and then vote him back in? Listen, this was the deal with that. I knew where James stood, and I knew Adam was a flip-flopper, and this guy was probably going to vote him back in. And if this went to a tie, then we'd have both of these people back in, the mystery person and James, and they would have to fight it out to see who would actually stay in the house. I didn't want to have any part of that, and I just figured if I just voted someone back out and then voted them right back in, maybe they'll just call it even, and we'll just call it good, you know? And I'm not good under pressure, and so that's why I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? Because if I play dumb and I'm under pressure, then maybe they won't get mad at me, right? I don't know what to do, guys. Don't know. But I was looking at Adam, and I was reading his energy, and I could just tell that this guy was not going to vote the mystery person. There's no way Adam was going to vote, and so I knew that I knew where the numbers were going to lie. I knew Ryan was going to vote mystery. I knew Matt was going to vote mystery. I knew Josh was going to vote the mystery person Josh was going to vote James. Sharon was going to vote James because Josh thought the mystery person was Allison. They made it seem like I thought it was going to be Allison. I had no problems with Allison. It wasn't because of her. I just was debating, you know, do I vote back someone in that I don't know? I mean, yeah, I was in still good relationship with them all. Or do I just vote back James and just maybe he'll forgive me? I know he's got bigger fish to fry. I know I'm not the one he wants after right away. I didn't put him on the block. I didn't backdoor him. So I'll just vote him back in. So that's why I did it.
Wow. Wow. All right, let's fast forward all the way up to week 9 when it came to an end. You and Sheila were together.
Uh-huh.
She wins the HOA, and she puts up Adam and Sharon.
Yep.
Adam wins the veto and saves himself, which nobody can blame him for that. Natalie,
right.
You were named as the replacement nominee, and you
you got
two knives in your back.
Yep.
Because Ryan turned on you and Sheila turned on you.
Yep. And they were all doing
that,
the exact same thing. They were hypocrites.
That had to
hurt.
Oh,
yeah. And they were hypocrites. And them calling me out as if I'm the only one that's making you guys all have final twos with each other, you bunch of hypocrites. Ryan and Sharon. Adam and Sheila. Adam and Ryan. Sheila and Sharon. You fucks. You M&Fers. You M&Fers, you calling me out because I'm the biggest threat, because I'm physically hard to beat. So you M&Fers want to turn it on me when you're all doing the exact same thing. Dummies, man. Traitors. Anyway, it's a game. I understand. They're just trying to get the spotlight off them and onto me, but they were all doing the exact same thing. Exactly.
Wow.
So, you know, and the reason I had to choose the boys, at that point I would have chosen them. I really think I would have chosen them. And that was our, at that point it was like, you know, I really wanted to go to the final three with Ryan and Adam. I just felt like, you know, they were really good players. They, you know, I mean, Sheila was good too, and Sharon was good too, but I really felt like Adam and Ryan held, I don't know, more power in the house. And I wanted to go with competitors. That's just how, that's my nature. I want to compete with really tough people to beat. That's just who I am. I want to compete to the fullest, you know. And so I was going to go to them. And plus, I needed their votes. And at one point, I really thought we had it, and they were going to vote to keep me. So I was completely blindsided that Ryan flipped, but I could feel his energy during a commercial break because he starts sweating. And when Ryan starts sweating, that's a telltale sign that he's going to do something shady. And so I went to him during the commercial break, right before I got evicted. I went to him during the commercial break, and I said, "Hey, Ryan, what's up, man? What are you going to do? Come on. You got me, right?" And he's like, "Oh, no, Natty, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, Natty." And I knew right then my heart just sank. I was like, "Oh, my God, he's going to freaking vote me out. Come on."
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're very
observant. And he did.
You
got to watch the nonverbals and who sits next to each other. And, you know, I'm an artist. I have an artist brain, so I notice the details. I notice all these little, you know, people's actions and where they hang out, where they sit. When they go to sit at the HOH table, who's sitting next to who? There's not assigned seats.
Right.
So what are you doing?
I'm going to bring on my co-host and producer now, and he is the other co-host of our Big Brother pod, Steve. Wants to ask you a few questions.
Okay. Hi,
yeah.
Steve.
Hey, Natalie. First off, I'm still dumbfounded by the fact that Big Brother has not asked you back yet, because
I know,
you were probably one of the most likable and one of the more memorable stars from Big Brother 9.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
My first question is, I mean, obviously you were part of the soulmates twist where
right.
you guys were paired up into different pairs. Obviously, you know, every single season, there's every person that goes into that house has a game plan heading in. How did the twist,
right.
if it did at all, how did the twist make you have to change up your game plan completely?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, that really threw a wrench in. I mean, oh, my God. Here they tell you, you know, you're in the they put you in a hotel room like 9 days before you move into the Big Brother house. You have about a week and a half to kind of figure out your game plan and, you know, really come to adjust to being isolated and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to play dumb with a box of rocks. I'm going to be fun. I'm going to get along with everybody. I'm going to be positive. I'm just going to fly under the radar. I'll stay out of the drama. I'll let everybody, the big personalities, kind of take each other out. I'll just kind of stand back in the background. I'll just observe things. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to observe, and I'm just going to kind of stay back in the shadows, you know. And that was my game plan, just be bubbly, fun, you know, play dumb in a box of rocks, pretend you don't know anything. I'm not smart at all. Don't look at me, guys. I'm not a threat at all, you know. And that was my game plan. But when they told me that now you're going to be playing as a game and you're going to be evicted together or put up together, my heart dropped. Oh, my God, I didn't know what to think at first. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? So if I get put together with some prick who's going to ruin my game plan, I get screwed. Oh, my God. How am I going to do this? And, of course, I'm going to be put with some, you know, I had a feeling it was going to be Matt. I could just sense it. I'm like, that's the guy. They're going to put me with him, man. And I could just feel he's opposite of me, you know, polar opposite of me. And that's why they would probably put us together. And so I'm thinking, oh, my God, and he's just going to blow up my game. What am I going to do? How am I going to balance that? So I just figured, okay, well, you're going to have to just tell him your game plan and see if you guys can come to an agreement together on how we're going to play and just go from there and just try to, and then if anything backfires, I'll blame Maddie for absolutely everything. Because I knew eventually they were going to have to split us up. It didn't make sense to me how, you know, 16 people, 8 couples could last that long in a Big Brother show. And I always told them, it says till death do you part, you guys. They're going to split us up. They're going to split us up. Eventually they're going to split us up. So I knew if I could survive just till they split us up that I would be all right. and then I could get back to my normal gameplay. So that was just hang on until they split us back up, and then you can just play. And that's what I did. And so, but, you know, they all thought I was crazy. They're not going to split us up. They're going to somehow bring people back or yada, yada, yada. I'm like, no, they're not, guys. They're going to split us up. So, but, yeah, it was really tough.
Yeah, it really seemed like, for the most part, I know they show a completely different side of things on television, but it really seemed like a lot of you guys were pretty uncomfortable with the whole pairs twist, and the fact that you guys also had to sleep in the same bed with each other as well.
Right. So, yeah, I know. I mean, for me as a single girl, I didn't care about that too much. I was like, all right. You know, I mean, I was a lonely girl for a long time, like a year at that point. I was like, okay. I mean, I told them I was ready for some romance. I was ready to look for some romance, you know, when I was auditioning and stuff.
I bet your partner was happy.
Oh, yeah. But he was. But, you know, it was uncomfortable. It was just, and it changed everything. We didn't know. And then you were kind of forced to be with somebody. You know, what if I went in there by myself, I might not have necessarily aligned with Matt. So I was forced to align with somebody right away when I didn't get to make that choice on my own, who I was going to naturally, you know, gravitate to and connect with and form alliances from there. Once you were put into pairs, it was like, okay, that's your partner now. You know, that's your, you know, your do or die, you know, regardless of what happens or however he treats you or whatever. Like, this is my partner. Okay, this is what I'm going to have to deal with and just adjust.
It was a terrible twist. Ugh.
Yeah, lucky you, Natalie. Lucky you.
Yeah.
You know,
and look at Parker.
Oh,
Parker got screwed because of Jen. He could have stayed in the game.
Yeah, Parker did.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about not saving him with the veto. We thought about it.
You're lucky. Huh? You're lucky that you actually got stuck with that twist instead of some of the other twists that they've thrown out there in recent years. I mean,
I don't mind the twist. I didn't mind it too bad. I've definitely seen worse twists. I don't like the whole groups, the foursomes. Like, that's really, let them navigate who they want to connect with. Like, forcing people in a group together, I don't like that because you don't get to see the natural dynamics of human behavior. I want to see humans naturally go to wherever they want to go to, and let's see who connects with who on a natural, organic basis. Let's not just force these people, okay, it's your four and you four and you four and you four. You know, I want them to kind of just, I like to see, that's the whole fun of it. It's like a human experiment. You know, you want to see who's in control, who's the power of the house, who's the brains, whatever, you know, and who navigates to each other. I don't want to see people just automatically set up and now you're forced to be a group. It's just not as fun to me. That's just my personal opinion.
And
for Sheila, Natalie, it was a nightmare for her being stuck with Adam.
Oh, yeah, she hated it at first. She absolutely hated it. I remember, but, you know, I'm not one to complain. Whatever cards I'm dealt, I figure it out. You know, I'm not a complainer. I'll deal with it. And, you know, I can't deal with complainers from the beginning. I didn't really want much to do with Sheila. All I knew in the beginning, all she did was complain and whine. I mean, this isn't a dating show. This isn't a romance show. I get it. You're mad because you got, you know, 29-year-old in the house with the curly blonde hair. But, you know, let's not be so judgmental right away. I mean, come on, let's get to know each other. And by the end of the season, she loved the guy.
Not really. And then she told us about what it was like being in bed with him. And honestly, Natalie,
I
would have felt the same way.
I remember that. Yeah, I feel bad for him in the bed. The bed, he had horrible bed habits.
Horrible.
And we'll go into that with her when we'll go into that when she's on here.
Yeah, so
Natalie, I got a question for you before I'm going to turn it back over to people like Kansas and Daniel and other people that may want to ask something. When you got to the point where you were at in the game and you're looking at the other players, which ones did you think you could beat if you made it to the end, and which ones were you worried about?
Like, if I was at the end of Final Two?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I was at the end with final two, it was kind of hard at that point because I really thought I had a pretty good chance up against all of them. I knew I had made some game moves, and I had outsmarted people, and they thought I was dumber than a box of rocks, and I had beat them and competed. So I felt like I had a fair shot even up against Adam or Ryan, but I felt like if I was to go to the end, I probably had the best shot against Ryan. I thought maybe Sheila would find a way to, you know, I wasn't too sure about going up with her with the final two because I had a feeling that, you know, she would use her, you know, the whole house split thing and she would really, I don't know, even though she didn't win anything, I felt like she could somehow find a way to manipulate or I don't know. Sheila was tough. I mean, I didn't think she would win. I thought I could definitely beat her in the physical competitions. You know, I mean, she
right.
proved herself that she could not really play competitions unless she freaking, you know, lied to you and backstabbed you. But Adam, I don't know. I liked Adam. But I don't know if I had, I'd say 50-50 with him. With Sharon, I think I would have beat Sharon. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, it really is hard to say. I just should have listened to my intuition at that point. You know, I was thinking too far ahead that week. I was thinking, oh, if Sharon gets so-and-so out for me, it'll be S4, and then I can win that HOH, the guinea pig question, and then I could go, and it could be me and Adam. So I was really envisioning Adam and Ryan, me, Ryan, and Adam at the final three, and I was hoping to sit next to Ryan at the end.
Yeah. What do you think about how they handle the final three? With the challenges, how you win your way there. Do you like that?
Yeah, I like that. I like how they do the physical, you know, the mental or the two mental competitions and how they break it up. I like that. I think that's a good way to do it at that point. I like it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. But all right, looking, we said we'd talk about this a little, and I'm going to get back to you, Kansas, and Daniel, Alexis, Melissa, everybody else. Looking old school, new school, what do you see that are the problems now? Because a lot of fans complain and complain and complain now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as fun anymore. Yeah, they really have kind of, I'm sorry, but they have kind of sucked the fun out of the game now. I mean, everything has an agenda and is political or some kind of, I don't know, woke agenda and all this. You know, back in the old school Big Brother, I feel like it was more organic and it was more like, you know, because they were just starting the game. So the first 10 years, maybe they weren't pushing so much, I don't know, agendas out there. But now it just seems so like they just want everybody to play follow the leader and they get in this mindset mob mentality. It's almost like, you know, everybody's influenced by a crowd, and so they just give up their own ideas to appease somebody else because they don't want to ruffle any feathers or whatever. And to me, that just sucks the fun out of the game. You want to have your own independent thought and your own independent choices, and you don't want to knuckle under all these freaking people that are, like, trying to strong-arming you through the house. Like, you got one big leader and ruler in the house. It's like, this is how it's going to go, so we all agree that, how we're going to do it. Like, no, that's freaking boring. This isn't a freaking, we're not all on, like, the same team, everybody. This is a one-man, you know, that wins at the end of this, and it's a one-man team for each person, or you split up in alliances, but for this whole, like, we're all on, like, the sports team. Like, it's all one sports team, and everybody's in on it together. You know, it's so predictable, and it sucked the life and the fun out of the game. If you can predict what's going to happen, who's going to go on the block, and who's going to go home, what fun is there to chat about? What do you have to chat about for the week? You know?
Right.
Where's the
right.
blind side?
Natalie, one of the seasons that made me the most irate, and I don't know the guy. He may be a super, super nice guy. I don't know him. I've never talked to him. He's one of the few I haven't talked to, but I've never talked to him. When Paul came back, and he
oh,
goes
yeah,
in.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
When he goes in, and they immediately let him name all these people that are going to be saved who immediately become his alliance and he's in charge. I hated that.
It was awful. It was horrible. And I feel like that's when it really started this whole follow the leader and have one captain in charge of the whole house. Like, what are you guys doing? Does anybody have a pair of balls around here? Like, grow some, everybody.
I agree.
A bunch of Nancy's, a bunch of pussies. I'm sorry, excuse my French, but my God, man.
You're right.
Grow a pair of people.
Natalie, that turned me off so bad. That turned me off so bad that every time I do a posting in Big Brother Whispers or Twitter or Instagram, I refer to him as Pope Paul because that's what they did to him. They named him the Pope of that season.
Yeah, it is just ridiculous. Like, can somebody grow a spine? Somebody. Does anybody have the balls to stand up to somebody and play and twist this game around and actually make it fun to watch?
Yeah, and the thing about it, Natalie, Cody and Jessica wanted to and tried to,
right.
but they weren't with him, so they had to go.
I was rooting for him. I was rooting for him, man, during that season. I was like, you get him.
Yeah,
they're the only
too.
Ones to go against the grain. The only ones to go against the grain. Why do we all need to, like, do what, you know, what this leader has to say? Like, I don't understand it. It's just ridiculous. It's crazy to me. It's just like, do you guys want to play a game, or do you just want to be under some, you know, dictatorship and just be told what to do, and this is how we're all going to make it at the end, and yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, but you're not going to make it to the end. Once it comes down to his alliance, he's going to take you out one by one by letting everybody think that they're going to the end. So
I know.
It's stupid. It's really stupid.
It is. It's just, I feel like it's definitely sucked the fun out of the game. Like, it's just not as fun as it used to be, you know. And just, so I don't even really enjoy watching it as much. I mean, I used to really enjoy it. But when it becomes so predictable... And I'm just like, man, this is boring, you know. I already know who's going to go home. Why watch the feeds? Why even subscribe?
Yeah.
Why, you know,
sound
I mean,
like
that,
so
many of us,
Natalie.
Yeah, it's
is.
Like the only thing you have to look forward to is the power of veto, and you hope the random person wins and fucks everybody's plans
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to ask you one more thing, Natalie, then I'm going to let the callers get back to some questions.
Okay.
And I will understand this and respect it if you just tell me, Jim, I'd rather pass on that question. So if you want to do that, it's fine. But when you do confessionals, is anybody in your ear telling
you
anything?
You mean in the diary room?
Yeah.
No, so what happens is in the diary room, at least in my season, you know, an old school Big Brother, I'm not sure how they do it now, but back in our day, we just had a camera in there. There was just a camera that you would look at with a really bright, god-awful light. I swear it was like a deer in headlights with that thing. It was so bright. And you just heard a voice, and you just heard somebody talk to you and ask you questions. So they would basically guide you and navigate your, you know, your answers and your questions. So, for example, you might have noticed I got a lot of Matt. I was talking about Matt a lot in the diary room. Well, every time they'd have me in there, well, how did it make you feel when Matt did this? So what did you do when Maddie hopped up on the other side of the couch? What did you do? And I would even ask them, you guys, why do we always have to talk about Maddie? I got all kinds of things to talk about. What do you want to know? Like, why do we always have to talk about Maddie? Can we talk about something else? And at that point, I assumed that they were just making me probably the stage five clinger. I already had known because I know my personality and I know.
No. And see, that's been going on for years. And I'm glad you talked about it. What they do is they try to lead you into something that they want to put on TV. You know?
Exactly. If they're creating a story.
And recent years, there have been Big Brother people that have said they were led sort of information to make them maybe change their minds about what they were going to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't pass it. I mean, people are cheaters. There are a lot of cheaters in the world, a lot of liars in the world, so I wouldn't put it past anybody.
Okay, Kansas, have you heard anything come up that you want to address or talk to about Natalie?
Oh, I was so happy to hear you ask the question on, you know, what Natalie thinks of Big Brother today, because so much of what you were saying, Natalie, you could be speaking for so many of us. I was such a huge Big Brother. It saddens me, though. Because Big Brother was one of my favorite shows. It's heartbreaking.
I know.
Because I loved
it.
It
is.
I would look forward to it every year, and it's just gone downhill because of all these things that you're saying.
And it just sucks.
Yeah, it's like everybody, we're supposed to, like, have no freedom of expression of choice. Everybody's supposed to just think one way of thinking. Don't think this way. You're a stupid child. You don't know better. Just play the way we tell you to play. You know, you're incapable of making your own mind up and any of your own decisions. So just, you know, do what we tell you to do.
But it's so frustrating because just like you said, does anybody have a backbone? It's like people...
Right.
Think for yourselves. Do what's best
mm-hmm.
for your game. Don't play the game for them. Play the game for you.
Yep.
It gets me so
right.
mad. I hate that.
I know. It's like,
yeah,
what was your game plan before you
Kansas
went in? It's
and,
like,
and Natalie both, don't you think when you become that type of player, you're kind of considered a ride-along and
oh,
you're
yeah,
kind
I would
of
say
down
so
at the bottom of the list? You're
yep.
just kind of a vote.
Well,
yeah,
yeah my question
it's awful.
Is, well, my question is with these players that do this is, before they went into the Big Brother house, was that their game strategy? I'm just going to play follow the leader. I'm going to have somebody in charge and just do whatever they say. That was your game plan going in? When you auditioned and they asked you, what is your strategy? How do you want to play? Did you tell them, I'm just going to follow the leader. I'm going to look for some guy to rule me around, and I'm just going to do everything he says. That's how I'm going to play.
Well, I'll say this, Natalie. If Paul's playing... They probably get on the show.
Probably.
You know, you've been
what else you got, Kansas?
Huh?
Oh, that's that whole Paul season. But, you know, I could just keep going on and on with that. It just went downhill, and it's been going downhill for me. I'm dreading. I'm starting to dread it. Like, will I enjoy this season?
I know.
Will I not enjoy it? How did you feel also, this is a good one, because I had problems with that also. It's always nice when at least it's all, you know, when they have all returnees at least, you know, the first one was so good. But then when they would mix it up, I wondered how you felt about when they would mix it up, because then again the same thing would happen, and everybody would be so starstruck over the past players.
Right.
And then once again, they wouldn't play for themselves. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. Yeah. I either like it when they bring back all returning players, like an All-Stars, or none at all.
Right.
Exactly.
Like have all or all new ones. Don't give me one starstruck that they're going to be like, we love you.
It sucks. And then they don't play the game for themselves. It's just,
right.
Uh-huh.
They get blinded
If you go back and look on Survivor and Big Brother, when they do mixed cast like that, the returnees do very, very well.
Oh, yeah, I know. They do. They always do great. You know, and it's just like, come on,
it's
you guys.
Unfair
come
for
on.
The newbies. You know, what about the
it's
newbies?
Like, look at the bigger picture.
Shot. You know? The newbie, it always seems just so unfair for the new people because this
it
should
does,
be their
yeah.
time, their shot.
That's what I think. Exactly. That's what exactly what I think. It should be their time to play without any influence from past players and they're
mm-hmm.
starstruck or whatever. You know, it's like give them a shot. Let them kind of soak it up that you're in the Big Brother house where all these past, you know, Big Brother players have been in or other celebrities. I mean, that's what I loved about going into the house during my season. I felt like time just stood still. I walked in and it was like, oh, my God. There are microphones.
Yeah, you were.
Oh my God! There
were
cameras following me. Am I really here? I lost my voice.
You
after
were
like
so
two days.
Excited.
That's why I didn't see you in the beginning.
You were so excited when Julie.
Convinced there was a room. I was like, they're locking it up there somewhere. I even found the keys and everything. They're like, Natalie, put those keys back because they hadn't revealed that it was going to be coupled yet, so they didn't want us to see the double beds. But I had found the keys. I was looking.
And you were so excited when Julie told you to enter the house.
Oh,
my God. And
I
was the first person called. I was like, oh, my God. I'm going to faint.
We don't get that anymore. anymore. We don't get players like you anymore. That's the thing. The last thing I just wanted to tell you, Natalie, when you were talking about the hide and seek and everything,
yeah.
You were so adorable. I loved you with the pigtails and the socks and the knee-high socks.
Oh, yeah.
You were
yeah,
so
my
adorable
favorite.
And so much fun, and that's what I miss about Big Brother. I want to see that.
Oh, thank you. I know. It was really fun. I knew I was not going to be bored in this house. I mean, you guys, come on, let's do stuff. I mean, we got nothing to do. You guys all just want to sit around? What are you doing?
We need more players like that. Renny Morton that's going to be coming on. She was another one that was so
I
much
love
fun.
Renny.
Yeah,
I absolutely love
yeah.
Renny. So
yeah,
cool.
Renny, Renny's going to be on the show, too.
And, yeah, people
and one
actually
of the,
used to make
I'm going to tell you now, Natalie. I'm going to tell you now, Natalie. One of the things I'm going to ask Renny is, how funny was it when he walked off into that damn pool and fell off
in
that
my
pool?
God, yes, that was hilarious.
I think that
oh,
might be
scary.
The funny. I think that might be the funniest moment in reality TV.
The Colonel, she called him. Remember the Colonel?
Yeah. Yeah, she
that
called him
so
the Colonel.
Funny. It's just like, come on, are you that funny? What are you doing? Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Okay, Steve, you were trying to get in a minute ago. You had another question?
Yeah. From how we've seen in recent seasons, where it almost seems like Allison Grodner every single season picks a certain player that she wants to help out. Like we call them
the gold
for the whole season.
Oh, the what?
The golden. The eye candy or the golden, like the golden boy or golden girl, depending
the
on
the golden
who,
kid or whatever.
I mean, let's face it. She usually goes after after the men, so it's basically the golden boy of the season, and
right.
Yet it's almost like they cater to these specific players. Like I'll throw out a few recent players that they've catered to. Jackson is one huge one.
Yep, they did. Yep.
Who basically broke a rule in Big Brother he snuck food, regular food, into the shower so that he could eat it without the cameras noticing while he was on slop.
I think I remember hearing something about that.
Which should have resulted in a penalty nomination, but because he was Grodner's golden boy of the season, he was given a pass. And
yeah,
you know,
I have noticed.
Seems like,
yeah.
Do you think that the
yeah
game
I have noticed
in recent
that they do
has been kind of rigged a little bit?
I do think that they have favorites. Definitely have favorites, and you know maybe they have certain agendas that they want to push, and so they have to keep a certain character in. I know that there is a typecast, and they have certain characters that they're looking for on the show based on whatever's going on in the world. You know, they've got to have like somebody like me, the hippie, free-spirited, bubbly, positive person. They got to have like, you know, the nerd. They got to have the jock. They got to have the real pretty girl. They got to have the cowboy, the gay person.
They got to have the gay person.
Always one black person, you know, like, come on, they can give a couple more than that. They always do that, and it's always so weird to me.
Well,
like, why do you guys always pick one, like, my season? One black person, poor Parker, like, come on.
Yeah. Well, now
you know, they have just a
typecast.
Yeah, they have. They have done that. Yeah, they've gotten more colorful in the cast, which is good. You know, you need to have different people, and you need to have different personalities and different types. You know, you need to mix it up, because they were going for a long time with the same, you know, kind of jocks and then cheerleader types or whatever. But I know they do have a type cast. You know, they have, you know, a cast that they're already looking for before they even start the audition process. And I believe I just fit that role at that time. I was all about love, and I had no idea this was a love season. you know, that my season was going to be all about soulmates. And here I was all about positivity and love, and I wear hearts all the time. Like, they're probably like, this girl's a shoo-in. And they used to tell me, you better not tell anybody about you're going on the show or that you might be picked or that you're auditioning. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. We find out, then we have to get rid of you. Like, they're very strict about that. You know, they don't want you telling anybody that you're auditioning. Like, it was top secret. I couldn't tell anyone. And then, you know, finally you get told you're top 25, and they're coming down to film you at, you know, like for me, it was Bikini Coffee Company. And back then, to get that really surprised, genuine expression and reaction, they told me, well, you're top 25, congratulations, but we're going to have a camera crew come down there, film you, and then we're going to send those videos back to L.A., and then we're going to make our decisions based on those videos. Right? That's what they told me. So I'm thinking, okay, they're just coming up to film me. Well, they had already contacted my mom. They had contacted my bosses. They had let everybody know I'm leaving for L.A. that day, and I'm being on the show, and I don't know yet, and they're coming to surprise me. And so they showed up on my work. They filmed me a little bit, and then my boss's brother was like, you know, he was ordering coffee in the drive-thru, and he's like, Natalie, how's it going? What's been going on? I said, oh, not much, you know, just enjoying life. He's like, really? Because I heard you were going on, and then he whipped up my big brother key with my name on it, and I was like, what? And I literally was like looking around, what? They have my name on? I'm going? The big brother? Like, right now? I'll never forget it. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what? What about my text? What about? And they had already told me to pack 2 weeks ago. They're like, well, pack as if you're going to go. It doesn't mean you are going to go, but just pack as if you are going to go. Because we do, we tell all of our top 25 finalists to pack. So that's how they tricked me to get that genuine reaction, you know. And then off I was. And I was off to L.A., and, you know, that was the beginning of my nine-day stay at a hotel and then off to Big Brother.
Hey, that brings up another question. That brings up another question, Natalie. I know, I know from knowing so many Survivor players that when they get cast, they're told what kinds of clothes to bring. Did that happen with Big Brother? Did they tell you, hey, and I know they didn't tell you, hey, you're hot, bring some sexy stuff.
Yeah, no,
stuff.
No,
I know
they didn't
say
that.
Tell you that, but did they kind of lean you that way?
No, they just basically told me I couldn't bring anything with logos like Nike or any kind of, you know, anything with a visible logo, any name brands, couldn't bring anything like that. But to bring whatever cute outfits that I had, you know, make sure you bring lots of bikinis. You know, so they were just suggesting lots of bikinis and, you know, make sure you bring lots of cute outfits. So, you know, I got the idea. I knew what to bring.
And you know, even if you pay attention to the show, because I know Brittany, I call her Brit. I know because she's from Arkansas and I'm from Arkansas. She carried some Arkansas Razorback stuff in with her and they would blur it out.
Oh, yeah, I know that they blurred out,
somehow she got it in, but they blurred it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was later, though, wasn't it? That was a couple seasons.
It was after you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they just changed things up, or I don't know.
Yeah. All right, we got another caller in who is one of the best people we have at knowing the history of Big Brother and Survivor. Tim Gross is here. Tim, you got anything to talk to or comment or ask Natalie?
Yeah, so I guess my question would be overall, after you watch the season back, like how do you feel about your portrayal on the show?
You know, overall, I thought they were pretty accurate. Some of the stuff they took out of context or out of place. Like, there were certain things that I said that was like, oh, my God, come on. I did not do that. They're like, when they made it look like I was stalking Maddie and hunting him down in the house, what they failed
they did.
To show you,
what they
did
failed make
it to
look
show
like
you
that.
Was... Okay, it really pissed me off, okay, because what really had happened was Maddie had told me I was in the sauna, hey, I want to talk to you, come find me when you're done. So I'm going around looking for him. Anybody seen Maddie? He wants to talk. Anybody seen him? And he's purposely hiding from me to make me look like some jackass. Like, what a dick. You know? Like, you told me to come find you because you needed to talk. And you only did that so you can make me look like crazy? You asked.
Well,
maybe, so that pissed me
off. Maybe it wasn't crazy. Maybe he wanted, with his ego, maybe he wanted people to think, hey, this hot chick's after me.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. So that was, but as far as my personality and my positivity and my, you know, just my little, my weird, quirky personality and stuff, you know, they overall got that right. I wish they wouldn't focus so much on that. I had a lot of other game strategy things that I would say in the diary room that they never really said, you know, they kind of portrayed me a little bit dumber than I actually was. You know, I mean, I'm actually really street smart and I have a very good spiritual sense or, you know, connection
right.
with God. And I've always let my intuition guide me. So I have a very good natural guiding system. I'm just streetwise, and that comes from a broken home and basically raising myself. I've always had to be that way, so I had to be strong and independent and smart, but, you know, I didn't want people to know that. But that was a lot of my game plan, and they didn't really necessarily show that too much. But overall, I think they got me pretty right on. I mean, they got my personality and stuff, but, you know, you don't know. People who don't know me might think I'm just, like, batshit crazy with my positivity and what am I doing with Maddie and stuff, but that's how I annoy you. That's how I am. If you're going to be such a jerk and so negative to me, I'll just be so extra positive. I'm going to just be, oh, Maddie, come on, let's go talk. Maddie, you want to go on the hammock? It's hammock time.
Yeah, let's go
lay in the
hammock.
It's my way of getting back, you know. So overall, I say they did a good job.
Yeah. Daniel, I know you have had to have heard things since you talked to Natalie earlier tonight. I know you've had to have heard other things come up tonight that you want to talk about.
Well, I was just thinking that, like, out of all the past seasons, Natalie, if you could have joined any of those casts, knowing even what you know now, if you could have gone back and put yourself in one of the previous casts from the previous, let's say, from Big Brother 16 on, what season would you have wanted to join?
Oh, God, I don't know, 16 on. See, I was going to say Big Brother 11. 16 on, I don't know. See, that's when I really didn't like Big Brother as much as 16 on. Like, I haven't
so
been
we'll
enjoying
put you
it
on
as much.
11.
Okay, yeah, 11 would be the one I would ultimately want to be on. I liked a lot of the characters in there, and I just, I don't know, I felt like Big Brother 11 had a lot of blindsides. We had the blindsides that we wanted, you know, and I liked that. So I liked season 11, but if 16, God, it's hard for me to remember. I'd almost want to go in with Paul just to kind of switch things up and get everybody to grow a pair.
Yeah, maybe with 11, you kind of saw it fitting your game better.
Yeah, and I liked Jordan and what was Jordan's friend's name? She was Burnett. Oh gosh, I can't remember. I liked her. What was her name? I can't remember, but I liked her a lot, and I liked the characters, a lot of the characters in that season, and I don't know, I just thought that maybe I would do good with just, because it was a singles, there wasn't any real crazy twist except for that that veto or that special veto or whatever, I can't remember, what was it, maybe it was Pandora's Box, I can't remember, it's been so long, yeah, that's what it was. Uh-huh. So I liked that season. I also liked 10, though, too. 10 was cool because I really liked Memphis and Dan.
Yeah, they...
And Rennie. I loved Rennie. I mean, people would make me memes of me and Rennie together, and Rennie would be like the mom, and I'd be like the baby. I guess people compared our personalities.
When, Natalie, when we have Rennie on...
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna shoot you a text or call you and say, hey, we're having Rennie on this night, and you may want to call in just for a few minutes to say hi to her.
Oh yeah, that would be fun. I would love to
do
that.
I know she would love that.
Yeah. Yep, we're friends on Facebook.
She's
Rennie's
like
awesome.
That. She loves attention.
Yeah, I love Rennie. She's great. I've never met her, but I love her from, you know, from what I know of her and the Big Brother community. And, you know, we're all like kind of Big Brother family or whatever. But, yeah, I really like Rennie.
Yeah.
Season 10
Daniel, what else you
season.
Got? Daniel, what else you got?
Well, I was also thinking about Big Brother Over the Top, the online season, which is one that Allison Grinder did not cast.
Oh, I loved that one. Yep, I loved that one. I absolutely loved that one. That one was fun.
That was a great season, but I thought America
had
so much power in that
one. She was my favorite. Actually, the girl
in
there. What's her name?
The brunette. Is that when Morgan won?
Yeah,
that's the one
that
Morgan won. But who was, I can't remember, God, what's her name? Come on, she's real smiley, brunette, funny, goofy, quirky. Shelby. Was it Shelby?
Shelby.
Yeah, Shelby. Now, she's my all-time favorite girl from Big Brother.
Mm.
Loved her. Absolutely loved Shelby. She was the bubbly, like, really funny. I just loved her. She was so funny.
Natalie, you know that Morgan dated a guy that's been on the challenge for, like, 11 seasons, something like that.
Oh,
he's
wow.
like a regular.
Uh-huh.
And look, we all know Morgan. She's a sweetheart, and she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
He cheated on her.
He cheated on her?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. Well, his loss.
She'll
find something better.
And she did what she needed to do. She dumped him.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's young. Well, she's got plenty of life left in her, and she'll meet somebody way better, and she'll be thankful. You know, sometimes miseries turn into blessings. That's why I don't try to stew.
Amen.
I just trust the Lord and the universe, and whatever happens is meant to happen. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything has a plan. You know, whatever's meant to be is meant to be, you know. And I thank God that I didn't end up with Maddie. You know, like, thank God
hey,
with,
oh my
with Jesse.
God, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I met.
None
I've got
of us
Jesse.
Wanted
he's,
to
I'm
see
so
that.
Thankful. Yeah, I'm so
yeah,
thankful
none,
for Jesse.
None of us
like he's
to
everything.
That.
Yeah, Jesse's like a blessing. I'm so thankful I met Jesse. Like we've been a strong team for let's see, since 2009. So what is that? 13 years. It'll be 14 this November.
Wow.
I'm still
yeah,
not married,
those,
but you know, common law marriage.
Hey,
we're common law marriage.
Trust me. If you haven't seen it yet. I'm telling you again to go friend her or follow her, whatever you have
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, friend me.
See the pictures at that gorgeous family she has with her husband and kids.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that photographer, too. She's one of, oh, she's just so such a great photographer. The way she takes photos, she's such a natural. She's just like, okay, come with me, kids. Now walk over here. Walk together. Hold each other's hands. And she's just so organic and natural. And then she captures and takes captures moments of me not looking and just playing with the kids or handing them a leaf or whatever. And it's just so beautiful because she's capturing organic, natural moments. It's not like pose. Everybody cheese. Put your hand here. Put your hand there. No, it means she was, oh, man. So I'm scheduling another photo shoot with her. We're going to do one here this summer. So I'm going to do another
oh,
a summer shoot. The last shoot we did was a fall photo shoot, but now I want to do a summer photo shoot.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Daniel, did you have anything else?
Yeah, I actually have a unique question. It involves Jesse.
Okay.
If you could actually cast Jesse, you could pick a reality TV show for Jesse to go on. Doesn't matter if it's Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, Naked and Afraid, whatever. Which reality show would you think Jesse would do the best on?
You're bringing up another friend of mine.
Actually, Alone. Alone. Have you heard of that show?
Yeah.
Alone? Yeah, Jesse's a jack of all trades. He's a survivalist. He's very good with the woods I probably shouldn't even say it, but he's created something where he's used water and salt water and a negative and a positive, and he's added it to his engine to expand his gas. Like, he can figure out how to get natural electricity. That guy's a genius. Like, he's a handy dandy man. You know, so he, but yeah, no, he would do great on Alone. He's got he's a country guy. He knows how to build. He knows how to survive. He knows how to hunt. Like, you know, he's got all those skills. So I think he would do great on Alone.
He might do good on Survivor.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about those competitions, though. Like, he's not as athletic as, I mean, he could be, but I don't think he's as athletic. I mean, he was an athlete. He was a lot of soccer player and stuff, but I don't know about a lot of those, you know, a lot of those competitions on Survivor. Like, I don't know, they're pretty brutal, you know, standing on a post
or on your toes
or something.
Some of them can
be. Yeah, so he.
Alexis, Alexis, you got another question or a comment or thought?
My question would be, who from your season do you still actually talk to?
You know, I probably talk the most with, what's that?
I was just going to repeat it. I was going to say, who do you talk to?
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably the most, I mean, it's not often, but I'd say Parker, Amanda, and Jen. I think that's pretty much, yeah, those are the three that I talk to the most. It's mostly through just social media and Facebook, Instagram. But those three are probably the three I talk with the most. I mean, I haven't talked to Ryan in years, or Josh or Chelsea, or, I mean, I haven't talked with anybody really except, I mean, just through, you know, just a little messenger. Hey, Parker, hope you're doing good. Miss you, or hey, Jen, your family's beautiful. Amanda, you're doing so good. I loved your workouts and your running, and, you know, I mean, she's such a good mother, too. So it's just stuff like that. But we haven't, like, actually sat down and had, like, long, you know, phone conversations or anything. Everybody's just pretty much living their life, and you know, that's that. But we'll always have a special bond, you know, a unique experience that we'll always share with each other, and it's, you know, it's pretty cool.
Right. What about this question? About cast, since you've left, have you had cast members after you played contacting you?
God, who did? I feel like somebody has, and I can't remember who. I feel like somebody I think I might have just pleaded them, like I rooted for them, like what's his name, the big beard older guy. God, I painted him. I can't remember him now. I'm drawing a blank. He's a guy. You know, come on.
Donnie?
Big blonde beard. Donnie. I painted him. We share the same birthday. So we had that in common.
Oh, wow.
He's like, I love you. I love the painting.
Cool.
And thank you so much. Yeah, so November 7th. We both heard November 7th. And then I did a painting for McCray. I actually did a painting for Evil Dick. See, kill him with kindness. And he came around.
Wow.
He was like, now he respects me.
Well,
I was like, you know, you love it, Evil Dick. When he saw me at the finale, he's like, oh, my God, because me and my sister with each other, and we come up to him. We're like, picture time, Evil Dick. And he's like, oh, my God, no. I'm like, you know, you love it.
100, Natalie, 100%, I can tell you what everyone on this podcast already knows. I do not get along with Evil Dick.
Oh, no? Well, I can see why.
No.
I mean, he's not a very easy person to get along with. You know, he can be quite hostile and nasty and, you know, and pretty, he's pretty,
yep.
He's kind of, some, you know. He's got some dysfunction inside of him.
Natalie, here was my problem with him from the start. And I know it probably shouldn't come into a reality TV show, but my problem with him from the start was his relationship with his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, but it's sad. I mean, it's really sad.
Like,
I can't imagine.
I didn't like him from there, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a father and I, you know, that's just not me, you know.
I know. I don't understand it either, but we don't know everybody's, you know, purpose or their soul's path or what they have to learn, what they need to do to grow and to become a better person. I mean, I don't know all the inner workings of all their experiences, and, you know, it's easy to sit back and judge someone, but do we really know? I mean, I just wish them the best, and I hope that they can somehow resolve it and realize that life is short and it's not worth it. You know, I mean, I just found out the other day, my dear friend, I'm still processing it. I'm not really sure what to do about it. I mean, it's just kind of devastating. But anyways, my childhood friend, her name is Melissa. I've known her for, God, since I was 8 or 9 years old. Literally, I had two best friends growing up, Amy and Melissa. That's their names. Well, she just found out she's a doula, so she helps with pregnant women. Well, she also was a surrogate mother, so she birthed two children for the same family. So she gave them a brother and a sister, and she just had the last one 3 weeks ago. Well, she went in for a gallbladder. She went in for a gallbladder x-ray or whatever because she was feeling some stomach pains or gallbladder pain or whatever, and I guess it's common after having a baby. It can happen. Well, they unfortunately found multiple tumors on her liver that are cancerous, and she's been told now that she has a month to live. And so right there. And I just posted the other day I found out I had just posted before I found out on Facebook, life, you could literally be here today and gone tomorrow. Be humble, grateful, and be loving, because you just never know, literally. And then I found out that with my friend, and she's my absolute, like, I have so many childhood memories with my absolute, one of my absolute best friends, you know, and it's just devastating. She has a 6-year-old daughter at home, she has a 19-year-old daughter, and she has a 17-year-old boy, and now she's being brought home, and she's put on hospice right now, and it's just, like, absolutely devastating. It just made me realize that what I posted was exactly true. What are you people complaining about? You're squabbling about what? And you don't have real problems. Are you dying? Are you saying goodbye to your children?
Right.
Get perspective here. So what if you have to clean? And I was like, so what if I have to clean up? I'm never complaining about cleaning or picking up a toy again. Like, are you kidding me? She would give anything to be able to have another holiday or another birthday or to be able to go home healthy and clean a house with her good health. And it's just devastating. It's just like I haven't been able to process it. I mean, I just found out a couple days ago, and I'm, you know, I've called her and I've left messages with her, but you know, she's going through so much. I don't even know if I'll see her again before, you know. I mean, she's, you know, it's just absolutely devastating. But it just proves my point. Like, this life is so precious. What are we doing, people? What are we doing with our time here? What are we doing?
Sorry, Natalie.
Life is so short. It is awful, you know, but it really makes you put things into perspective, and it really makes you be thankful for every day that you're given.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, every morning I wake up, I give thanks for another day.
Yep.
That's
right.
I have another day, you know,
yep.
And I'm
you
here,
know how many
with, I'm
don't
here
wake
with my
up
family.
In the morning?
Yeah, I'm here
yep.
with my family. I'm here with my friends. And I have another day, so I'm thankful.
Exactly. Thank you. I mean, it's so short. We're here for such a blip of time in reality. Like, you know, get perspective, people. Enjoy.
True.
Make a difference. Let's do something with our lives.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Melissa, anything come up tonight that made you want to ask a question or a comment?
Well, you know what? I was kind of wondering, who are some of your favorite Big Brother players? I know you mentioned Jordan.
Okay. Yep, I love Jordan.
And
she's sweet.
And Donnie.
Nice. Yep, Donnie. And also Sam. Remember Sam from Big Brother 20?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loved her.
Yep.
Loved her. Shelby.
Let's see, who else? I loved her too.
Yep, Shelby
I
was one of my
Sam
all-time
too.
Favorite girls. Loved her. God, who else? I'm trying to think back. Who's my other favorite players? It's
what
God,
about
I haven't,
some winners?
I haven't even caught it.
What about
winners?
What about some
Dan?
Of the winners?
Dan is probably one of my favorite winners. Jordan, obviously. Let's see. Who else is a favorite winner? I'm trying to think back. Oh, you know what? I really liked the earlier seasons, too. Hang on.
Hey, come on. I get extra money if you say
Lisa?
Dr. Will.
I like Lisa.
I get extra money for Dr. Will.
Screw Dr. Will. That guy turned out to be an asshole. I do not like that guy anymore. Fuck him.
Oh, my God.
That guy. Okay, I get a painting
for this
jerk-off.
Wait a minute. I have to say this. I love her even more right now for disagreeing with me. I don't like yes people. I like people to give me what they got.
No, fuck him. I'll tell you why. Because I did a painting for him years ago. I used to love him, right? I respected him, and he contacted me. That is one celebrity I forgot. He contacted me. Dr. Will contacted me because he found my art, and he liked it, and he wanted me to do a painting of him touching God's finger in the sky with his stupid Yorkie puppy on his wiener sitting in his lap. Right. Okay. So I did this stupid painting for him, and after I gave it to him, he said it was like some gag joke, I guess, for his wife for like April Fool's or whatever. But then I posted a picture of it to share it because he even told me, "Oh, if you give me a good deal, I'll promote you and I'll make sure your artwork gets out there and I'll get you more jobs and da 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 da." So I'm like, cool, I'll give you a good deal. I'll sell you a painting for $500, which is a freaking steal. I mean, all that work, I put hours into this painting, hours. That was nothing for my time. So I freaking do it for him, and then I post a picture to share it, and he tells me I have no right to share it. That was a personal painting, and to take it down, or he's going to have his lawyer come after me.
Wow.
Yeah, fuck him. So I took it down. I said, fuck you. I don't need to promote your stupid stupid painting. I will make it on my own without your dumbass piece of artwork. So enjoy.
What a
jerk.
Yeah, so he's a real fucking piece of work.
That is a big bomb drop, and that is wow.
That's his, you know, his true colors really came out. Like, what do you care? You told me you were going to promote it. You knew that you found my artwork from the internet. You knew I post everything. So wouldn't it have been a good idea maybe to bring it up to me before I painted and before I shared? Hey, I'd appreciate it if you didn't share the painting. But no, you tell me after the fact, and then you threaten me with a lawyer. You jerk off. Go screw yourself.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was that. That's my Dr. Will experience.
Let me ask the caller, because there's a lot of Dr. Will fans.
Oh, yeah, listen, he was a great game player. I loved his personality. I loved his game. I loved him in season two. Thought he was a great player. He's great. I loved it. I hate you all. I want you all gone. I love all of it. You know, the Chill Town, loved the phone call. I loved it. I mean, some of the best classic Big Brother moments. But the guy's
calls.
A freaking prick in real life.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
a
I love
D-bag.
Those phone calls. But to the callers
so,
out here, does this change any of your opinions about Dr. Will?
No, not really for me.
Yeah, you don't have to I don't expect anybody to change. You know, he's still a great player, you know, and everything. I mean, my experience shouldn't change the way you feel about him. It's just my experience with him. That's it.
I was really turned off on him with the whole Janelle thing because he lied so badly. With Janelle.
Yeah,
there was a lot of
fans on opposite sides about him and Janelle.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because she was not lying. She told the truth, and he lied.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Okay, I got to say that in Will's defense, and he probably will never, ever, ever admit to it, that he definitely had feelings for her. He did.
Yes,
he had genuine, real feelings for her.
I can tell you, and I think most everybody on this podcast, all of these fans know me pretty well. They know Dr. Will and I are good friends, and I can pretty much tell you, he did really kind of like Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I could tell that, especially when they're, like, in the hot tub before the big fight and stuff. You can just tell that they, you know, they were really having naturally flirty energy with each other and stuff. You could tell, you know.
Yeah.
No,
don't get me wrong. I like Janie. I know her, too. I mean, we're friends.
Uh-huh.
That's why I call her Janie.
what got me was when he told Boogie, I do not want her hurt. I do not want to hurt her. And Boogie said, oh, really? Because Boogie, you know, he just thought that they were out there to screw her over. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. That's what really, I thought, you know what, he really liked her. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, they got together after the show.
Yeah,
and Janelle talked about it. Oh, yeah. And he lied.
Oh,
he said it never
huh.
happened. But, yes, they got to,
right.
they actually got together after the show. And I believe
uh-huh.
Janelle
oh, yeah.
wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
he wanted to cover it
yep.
because he didn't want to break up with Aaron. Because don't forget, Aaron was in the middle of all of this, watching this.
Right, right. Right. Daniel,
mm-hmm.
Daniel, let me come back to you. What do you remember and know about all of this with Will and Janie?
Oh, you know I've watched every single season. But when it comes to Dr. Will and that final four, Dr. Will, Janelle, Boogie and Erica, yeah, you could tell right when you're watching it that Will had feelings for Janelle and... He seemed to not want to hurt her, but he knew that what he had to do. Like, he just wanted to, he had mixed feelings about what he had to do, because Boogie was his ride and die since the very first time he met him, well, was. so, but yeah. And yeah, I've never been a Dr. Quill fan, you know that, but but yeah, he definitely had feelings for her, for sure.
Okay, so I was also going to say that I agree with old school. I want the old school. I want another Janie. I want another Dr. Will. I want another girl.
Uh-huh.
I want another Danielle. I want some of those old school players that were so good at
mm-hmm.
what they did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was really hoping for the all-stars that Kacer and Janelle were going to go further together. I was really rooting
yeah,
for Kacer. I was like, come on!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone knew they were going to team up, and they just went after them. You know, they took them out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why? Because they knew that they were the fan favorite. They knew the fans were going to be
right.
on their side. They couldn't take it. Mhm.
Yep.
Yep.
The problem is
and that's
now
why,
everybody
that's
is
why
so
Nicole
interested
has such a problem
15
with
minutes of fame.
Well, no, the Nicole issue stemmed from the Amazing Race. You saw the Amazing Race 31; they kind of got into it a little bit, and that's where the issue stemmed from.
Well, yeah, I know that, but what I'm saying is that. I think Nicole also had a little bit of jealousy there.
Oh, I don't doubt
Janelle.
That, please.
A little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was, a lot of people think that it was all Janelle, but, and I know Janelle is kind of, can be rough. She's very, she just speaks her mind. She just does what she thinks. And, she doesn't, I don't know. I love her to death, but she can be kind of rough sometimes. However, I had to agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I had to agree with Janelle that, you know, Nicole was making all of these snide little comments and saying all this crap when Janelle wasn't doing anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so... until the very end when Janelle had just had enough of it. And she goes, really? Because she goes, when Nicole goes out there and goes, oh, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? And Janelle goes, oh, for God's sake, give me a break, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah, I remember
kinda,
that.
She kind of just went into her.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, Natalie. Nicole, Janelle... Did you keep up with it? Did you not care? Is it like,
No, I didn't really care.
Grow up.
No, I didn't really care. I mean, in the show, I was like, I thought, you know, during the season, I thought Nicole was definitely a little bit more bitchier to, you know, and pretty harsh to Janelle. I mean, I did find her to be more abrasive and, you know, Janelle was just wanting to play, but Nicole already was hating her from the beginning from jealousy or whatever. But I didn't get into their Twitter drama or anything. Like, I could give a shit. Like, who cares? They're bigger. Again, life is too short. You know, what are you going to spend your time doing?
I love that you're like that. I love that. But you know that season, Janelle was after her like from day one. I mean.
Yeah, she was. Probably because she could sense her negative jealousy vibes. I don't know. Like, you know,
and,
you can pick up
and
on
the
that
other,
stuff.
The other
yeah.
thing, the other thing,
mm-hmm.
Natalie, was Nicole did what she does. She hooks into a group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't get me wrong, I've always liked Nicole. I just,
mm-hmm.
And I've always told people this, I just don't like that little whiny voice.
Yeah,
oh
I've never
God,
liked her voice
most,
particularly.
That,
yeah.
But I've heard the same thing about me.
But
people couldn't
I think,
stand my voice either.
I mean, if
you
you're
know,
going to ask me, if you're going to ask me, even though Nicole, if you're going to ask me who's the better Big Brother player, Janelle or Nicole, I'm going to tell you it's Janelle.
Hell, hands down. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, I liked Nicole, too. A lot of people did not like her. I loved that she beat Paul. I just loved that.
Oh, yeah. I did love that.
I just loved it. And, but a lot of people just thought, you know, Paul got ripped off and blah, blah, blah. But I was happy that she won. I loved her in The Amazing Race. I was so happy that her and Paul were the last Big Brother couple. I would have preferred Janie and Brittany, but, you know, it happened. So I was
she was
really
on with Paul? I thought she was on with Victor.
No,
she was on with Victor.
Yeah.
Victor, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so, and I was happy that her and Victor got together and all of that kind of good stuff. And but I tell you, that season that she was on with Janelle just kind of left a taste in my mouth. I didn't really care for her after that. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that was another one of my favorites. Victor, you reminded me. I forgot about him. I absolutely loved him on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Oh, my God. He was so
loved him.
Funny.
He was
he
great
was
and winning
funny.
Every time. He'd get kicked out three times, and he's just like, all right, let's do this again. I'm going back. Like, here we go again, round
yeah,
number three. How many times
am
I going to get kicked out?
And he was so funny. And you know,
yeah,
from
I loved
that,
him.
I wanted him to win
Nicole.
So badly.
Well,
me too. He was
well,
the one I was rooting for.
I can give you a little behind the scenes. I've had Victor on the podcast before, and I've told many, many people one of the nicest, kindest, most gentleman person I have ever met. He was raised right. Yes, sir. No,
oh, yeah.
sir. Thank yep. you. He is that guy.
Uh-huh.
When I started thinking about doing these podcasts, I contacted Nicole and asked if she wanted to come on or her and Victor wanted to come on. And I told her Victor's been on before and he was a fantastic guest. She never even replied.
Oh, no.
She didn't say yes, no, nothing.
Huh. Yeah, Nicole just thinks the world of herself.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe I need to contact Victor again.
Yeah.
Good. I
because
had,
he was a great guest. I mean, seriously, Natalie, of all the guests I have ever, I mean, a lot of them are my friends, but of all the guests I've ever had on pods, Victor was like what I think of when I grew up as to how you're supposed to be raised.
Yeah. No, I loved Victor. I had a lot of respect for him and a lot of hope he was going to go far, and I just loved his personality and his positive attitude. I mean, he was there to play, you know? So
yeah,
he was great.
I don't know. I think that once, you know, with the last season and the everything with Janelle, the fans really turned on her. And they really turned on her. And they were calling all of her sponsors, you know, for her influencing. They were calling her sponsors and getting her fired and all of that kind
oh,
of
no,
stuff. That
that's
when nasty. When she got out of that house, and she, like, unfriended everybody, and she, I mean, I think that she had just decided, I'm done. I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
Big
yeah,
brother
maybe.
That she's just moving on. She just wants to, now that she's had her baby, and, you know, she just
yep.
wants to move on with her life.
And
yep, that's what I would do. Just embrace being a mom now. Yep, you can't just
right.
let. I mean, you know, not everybody's gonna like you, and it can get pretty nasty. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I got some nasty messages from people when I first got out, and I just immediately would just delete, move on. I'm not gonna expend any energy. Thanks to you for announcing that you're a dick, and I don't want anything to do with you. Next. Delete. Next.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Natalie. I don't know if you want to hear this, but I mean, you know, you and I are close, so I feel like I can tell you this. When we were promoting the podcast everywhere, all over the internet, I got a tweet from somebody. And let me preface this by saying this person was following nobody and only had one follower. So it looked like a troll account to me.
Right, uh-huh.
And when I promoted out, you know, the promo for you, they tweeted me back and they said, "Is tonight a striptease?" And I went off
uh-huh.
on them. I went off on them, told them off, and then I blocked them.
Uh-huh.
But that's sort of what people like you from Big Brother and people from Survivor, that's a lot of what you guys go through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've gotten, I don't know, I've gotten, when I first got out, I was so overwhelmed with a lot of love, though. There was way more positivity, way more, you know, wonderful messages from people. I mean, it wasn't that many. It wasn't that many hateful messages. I mean, some of them were pretty nasty. I mean, I literally had people tell me to go kill myself or, you know, I should die or whatever. All because, you know, I'm sexy, I wore a bikini, I showed my body, whatever. Yeah,
right.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Let's grow up. But, you know, whatever. I just immediately, well, usually, if I notice that a comment or a message is going south, I won't even finish reading it. I'll just immediately block and delete. Like, you know what? You suck. You know what? You should be canceled because you're going
exactly.
around spending all this hateful energy on people, telling people that they suck when it's actually you that sucks.
Exactly.
And that is great advice. That is great advice because for many years, Natalie, I took the approach, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to banter back and forth. I'm going to fuss and fuss and fuss and fight and fight and fight. My wife finally told me, she said, "Jim, you're doing exactly what they want. They want your attention.
Exactly.
Block them,
ignore
them.
They want a reaction.
Them. Yeah, and you're done with it.
That's it.
And
you move
she
on.
Was
you
right.
don't even remember.
She was right.
You won't even remember,
yeah.
you know, you don't want a reaction. That's what they want. They're trying to get a reaction out of you. They're trying to get riled you up and rise out of you because that's what the only thing that they can do because they have nothing going
exactly.
for them in their life. How pathetic of a life that you have to go around and just tell people they suck. What kind of energy are you adding to the world? And what's to say for people like you who go out and send that energy? Don't you think there's always a counterforce or a counter reaction? Something's going to come back to you. So you send that hateful energy out and then that's going to come back to you, not me. I just move on. Next, block and delete. And then when you block and delete so many people, it eliminates the number of, you know, hateful messages
or mean
comments. Oh, my God.
I cannot tell you that.
I don't want a relationship with these people. I don't want to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Natalie, I can't tell you how many people I've blocked on Facebook. I mean, it's like,
move on.
I'm starting to worry if I'm going to get in trouble for blocking so many people.
You know, I'm telling you, it has to be done. You know, you got to protect your energy field, and I don't need them dumping their negativity and their toxicity and their inner suckiness on me. Like, that's your problem. You look in the mirror and figure
right.
out what's reflected back to you. Like, you figure
right.
it out. You're not my problem. Why are you carrying hate? It doesn't feel good to hate. Really? You like to sit around and hate? Does that feel good for you? Really, doesn't it? I mean, hate feels awful. It's soul-sucking. And when you hate something, you actually become what you despise and you hate. And when you hate it, it actually draws you something to you in an obsessive way. It's like, you know, where love does the opposite. It pulls somebody. It feels good. You know, where hate does the opposite. You know, it's just you're obsessing over what you hate, and then you drive to focus on what you hate, and then you become what you hate. Idiots, man. Blinded by
right.
their own hatred, and then you can see it.
Right. You're exactly
so.
Right. Let me get to kind of a different a different topic here. Tell me about your artwork. At what age did you start to know you could do this? And then when did you get to a point where you're like, I'm going to really pursue this because I think I'm pretty good?
Yeah, well, I started painting and drawing, like, I mean, literally as soon as I could, you know, hold a pencil or as soon as I was able. My grandma right away was giving me crayons, and I was always drawing and just started off drawing faces and then mermaids. And I'm talking like 3, 4, 5 years old. I mean, it was immediately
wow.
drawn to art. And in kindergarten, I actually won some art contests, you know, and they would hang my art up and be like, oh, look what Natalie made. And I remember my kindergarten teacher talking with my grandma at a open house or, you know, where you have come and look at how the kids are doing. And I remember my teacher saying, you know, Natalie's got a real talent here. If she keeps it up, she could do something with this, you know. And then they also used to say, because I loved acting and I was Goldilocks in a play and I was a Little Red Riding Hood in, like, kindergarten and first grade. And, again, I'd be extra dramatic, you know, oh no, and, you know, fly myself around, and I was just really dramatic and stuff. And I remember my teacher again saying, Natalie could be on TV too, you know, she's really, really outgoing and she's really got a personality, she's really good at this. So I knew at an early age, but then I just kept experimenting and dabbling with paint and just kind of pouring my heart and soul and figuring out my style and what I like to paint. So I've kind of, you know, changed throughout the years. When I got out of Big Brother, I got a lot of messages from people saying that they liked my art, and then I started selling it. I thought, well, maybe I'll do this on the side, and I'll just keep working towards it and see where it goes. I mean, I am pretty good. People tell me I'm pretty good, so I'm just going to keep at it. And then I started doing celebrities and stuff, and that was more to just learn how to do more faces accurately and to get them precise. You know, it was more of a learning experience. Now so much I don't really like my celebrity paintings anymore. I've gotten so much better. Now I've been getting flooded with messages. I mean, when I'm in my art room at night, I usually sit down for about an hour in total peace before I even put anything on, because I just need to kind of, like, recuperate from taking care of the kids all day and just, like, zen out, right? Well, then I just get, like, flood of information and ideas coming through me where it's almost like I can speak truth to power through my paintings. So now I'm starting to do paintings where I can just speak my truth and my soul and have, like, a deep meaning behind my paintings. You know, I just created a puzzle girl where I called it Pieces of Me, and we're all like pieces of a puzzle. And if you take away all the negative, you reveal inside who we are, which is light. So I have this girl that's taking apart pieces off of her face. I just posted it on Instagram. I did a video. And you reveal inside that you're light. We're all from light. We're all from God. We are all light. You know, the kingdom of heaven is within. So that's what she means. And I've got, like, all these
right.
paintings now that just have more deep spiritual meanings. I did another one called Heal the Scars, which is a girl being stitched up with heart stitching with some birds. And she just represents searching within yourself and healing yourself within and forgiving and just healing all your any kind of childhood traumas or anything and living gratefully. And you heal that up, and then you can help heal other people around you. And you can help uplift people once you heal yourself. So I've got all these different paintings that have different meanings, and I'll get phrases that come to my head, right? Like, I've got another phrase that came to my head, keep your blinders on. I just keep hearing that in my head, keep your blinders on. Everybody just keep your head buried in the sand, oblivious to anything that's going on around you. Keep your blinders on. So now I want to do a painting with a girl wearing a blindfold, or, you know, I've got another girl I'm working on.
Because blinders, you know, they're kind of like out to the sides of the eyes.
Uh-huh. Right.
So that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and I've got another one because of Big Brother. I've got another girl. She's going to be wrapped in spider webs, and she's surrounded by all these beautiful flowers and trees. I'm not finished with her yet, but I'm going to call her either caught or caught in the webs or webs of deception, kind of like season 7 All-Stars, you know, the spool of lies.
Oh, yeah,
right?
web.
And so I've got her all wrapped in the webs, and what it means is if you're so entangled and enveloped in all of this drama and lies or whatever, that if you would just break free from the webs, you would notice all the beauty that life has to offer around you. Break free from the webs. So that one, she'll be done soon. But, you know, so I've got lots of paintings with more meanings, you know, more meaningful paintings now.
So, sort of like Miss Web of Deception. is what you're creating.
Yeah, web of deception. I wrote
creating.
That on the back. And when you're talking about backstabbed, I have another one called backstabbed. I have her. She's it's more of a profile view. She's holding a rose, and she's got a knife stabbed in her back. But it's all done in pinks and purples. She's not done yet, but that's called backstabbed because who hasn't experienced being backstabbed?
Well,
right?
what about doing one of you having two knives stabbed in your back from
two
people from Big Brother?
Yeah, two knives would be good. This one, I just did the one, but. Yeah, that could be another one. But I've got so many, you know, like breaking out of the box. And I write these quotes will come to me or these phrases. They just come to me in my mind. And so I have to write it down because I can't physically paint everything when it comes through to me. So I have to write it down. So I have, mind traffic, America's New Deal. I've got the puzzle babe. I've got, what's this one? Unplug from the beast system and plug into divinity instead. I've got breaking out of the box, uninstalling all the negativity and the bullshit that you've been indoctrinated with, uninstalling that. And I've got, anyone want cocktails serving you? You want jealousy, you want anger, you want love, you want positivity, you want happiness? You choose. You know, I've got all these ideas. I just cannot keep up with them, all of them. I'm catching stars. Pursuing the wind, heart on my sleeve, smoke and mirrors, eyes never lie. I've got so many ideas, and unhinged. That's another one that came to me. Unhinged. People have just been unhinged lately. I feel like I need to do a girl that's unhinged, like something with maybe she's falling apart and the hinges are breaking off or something. Tip the scale. I've got all these mind spinning, circus of the mind, writing on the wall, low hanging fruit, blur. I just go on and on. I've got them all written down. But I don't know if I'll ever paint all of them.
But Natalie, that's your creativity. That's what
right.
you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
That's how you do this. So
bubble of information. Got that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great.
Uh-huh. So it just comes through, and chill out. That was another one. Sea of lies. I don't know. I've got so many broken. She blinded me with science. I've got so many.
That was an old video.
I've got so many. I just write them down, and then I get a vision of a painting. I'll dream about it or something, and then I paint it. Window between worlds. For some reason, that came to me. I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but we'll figure it out.
Let me ask you a two-part question on this topic, and then we'll get back to Big Brother for people that are waiting. Number one, was there anybody in your family that you took after that had this same talent? And now, do you see any of your children picking up on it?
Yeah, so my grandma was an artist. She mainly made porcelain dolls, but she used to do a lot of wood painting. And so she's the one that mainly taught me. I would always paint at grandma's house. I'd stay there every Friday, Saturday night, and we'd get the oil paints out or whatever kind of art supply she had, and I'd learn to paint. She would show me how to draw an eye, and I would draw the eye. She would show me how to draw the figure. She gave me a How to Draw the Human Figure book when I was 12 years old. So she was really the bigger influence in me as far as art. My mom and dad are not artists at all. They have no creativity in their bones whatsoever. My daughter, Araya, all my children love to draw. All of them love to draw. But my youngest one, Araya, who's 3 years old, she is actually left-handed, and she's such a good little artist. I am blown away with what she's drawing at 3 years old. Like, what are you doing? She's like,
Mom,
this is a pumpkin house. It's a pumpkin house. Oh, and it really does look like a pumpkin house. You are such a little dolly. She draws a person.
That is
great. She
draws
a stick figure with a circle face and arms and legs. And so that's you, Mom, you.
Aww.
Yeah, it's just a
that
sweet
is
thing.
Great.
She is just a
that's
sweetheart.
Cool.
So I homeschool the children now. So we spend about 2-3 hours, at least 2 or 3 hours. I do school at all times, sometimes night school, because night school tends to work because it calms them down and they get all that information right before they go to sleep at night. They've got it in there.
Yeah.
So they'll usually think about it and dream about it and stuff. So, and it just calms them down. So if I get in here at like 7 o'clock from 7 to 10 or 7 to 9:30 and then get ready for bed. But, and I work with them one-on-one. I give her Rhea all of her different puzzles or her workbooks, and then I'll spend an hour with Sailor and an hour with Atreyu, and we just sit down and we learn all kinds of stuff. We learn about science. We learn about the English language. I'm even teaching them a little bit of Spanish. I teach them math, reading, writing, history. We've got search books. We've got art classes. We have crafts.
Right.
So we just really just spend as much time as we can together. I'm just soaking it up and just, you know, keeping them at home and just homeschooling, and we love it, and they love it, and then they have playtime, and I take them to the park to go socialize with other children.
Yeah.
So that way they get to socialize.
I understand what I'm going to call your pain, but it seems like really enjoy it, because I have had to homeschool, and to me it was a pain, but after it was over, I felt pretty good because it worked out good. But something I want to share with you about the artistry stuff is, I will give you the other side of the coin. My grandfather could draw anything, and he did paintings, and he even made the frames that he put the paintings in that I still have. And then my father could draw anything.
Wow.
And I can't draw a damn bird.
Right. It's funny, huh?
I can barely draw figures
as
it is.
So I got left out.
Isn't it funny how some people just cannot draw? I know, it is funny to me.
I told my wife one time, we were playing Pictionary, and I drew the card that said a bird. And I'm sitting there trying to draw this big, elaborate-looking bird. And of course, they didn't get it. And then she tells me, why didn't you just do this? And she makes, like, a little V that looks like a bird. And I'm like, God,
right.
I'm so stupid.
You're trying to do some big elaborate bird, and she just comes with like a faraway bird flying in the sky.
yeah, that's what I was trying to do. And she draws a little circle V, and you look at it and you think, that's a bird.
Yep, that's right. That's funny.
So that's my artistry. Yeah, I do podcasts. That's what I do. I don't do artists. I mean
what you're good at.
And you're great at what you do. Kansas.
Thank you.
Get back in here, Kansas. Kansas, get back in here. We got
I'm
about
here.
35 minutes left with Natalie. Talk.
Well, the one thing that was going through my brain when we're talking, especially with the artistry and the story that you shared about Dr. Will, and I'm sure you agree with me on this one, Natalie, karma comes back to people. And look at what happened with his ride or die. Am I right, Natalie?
Yeah.
His ride or die that he did everything for. Mike Boogie really gave it to him. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe that might make you feel a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, what goes around comes around. That's why I never worry about it. Whenever people do me wrong or something, I don't worry about it. You know what? Their time will come. You can't just send out that energy and you don't think it's going to come back. There are universal laws of the universe. There are ways of things that are cause and effect. And whatever you do, if you force people to do something, there's going to be a counterforce. Everything has to balance out and everything comes back, and you're going to have to pay that karma back.
And it comes back. But my mom was an artist, too, just like you, Natalie.
Yep.
Not quite as gifted as you, but she loved to do paintings, and I remember when I was little, she did me. And just like you, Jim, you know, when it comes to painting and stuff, for me, I guess my creativity has been lately doing ceiling medallions. I've been painting ceiling medallions. That's basically it. But I'm not an artist either, but she loved it just like you. She loved to do drawings and, you know, charcoal drawings and stuff. But once again, girlfriend, boy, you're a magnificent artist.
Thank you so,
so
much.
So beautiful, your paintings and drawings and how spot on you are and the detail.
Oh,
and it's
thank you.
Amazing.
I finally feel after all these years, I finally have found myself through my paintings. It's taken years of experimentations and hours of paintings and paintings I've tossed and thrown away and repainted over, or, you know, to finally come to where I'm at. It's like finally, I finally feel like my art is now speaking my truth and now revealing who I am, you know, and my inner world. I can now express it clearly through my art. I find like I'm finally here, and I'm feeling like I'm right on the cusp of like really growing my art, and even my videos on my Instagram and stuff are finally taking off. I'm getting a lot more views now. I'm getting more likes.
Good.
You know, and it's taken a while, but it's finally starting to take off. Like I just posted a video right before I came on here, and I have no idea. I haven't checked, but I can tell I've been getting a lot of notifications because my phone keeps going ding, 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 ding. So they're coming through, but I'm excited to see
oh,
how this
cool.
last one did. It's the
good
puzzle piece, girl, that we just finished.
That's wonderful, Natalie. That's
yeah.
so good.
Good. And
yeah.
See
so
that's
like
the thing,
I'm
Natalie.
Connecting.
See, that's
uh-huh.
the thing, Natalie. You're working.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just sitting around.
No.
Waiting to be a call back to Big Break. You went on.
No.
You're working. You're using what you're good at. And it's going to
mm-hmm.
pay off for you.
Yep, it will. You just got to keep pushing forward and keep, you know, God's timing is perfect. I feel like I'm now just resonating with people and connecting with people more through my art. And it's just, I'm just going to keep speaking my truth and just being me, my authentic true self. I'm not going to censor myself, you know, at all. I mean, just to pander people or whatever. This is who I am. You like it, you don't. If you don't, what are you doing here? Are you in eighth or ninth
right.
grade? I mean, I had to make a video the other day about that. Like, people want to come on and dump their energy or just tell me how bad I suck, and there's no, you don't have time for that. Like, get out of here. What are you doing on my page then? Are you in eighth or ninth grade? What's going on here? Like, leave, be done with, what are you here for?
Yeah.
You're obviously intrigued in some way.
Yeah.
But,
well, Natalie,
you know,
just
so,
think
yeah.
about all the people that you touched, even with your drawings, the people that
exactly.
were lucky enough to buy a
yeah.
painting from you. Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, think about how they
exactly.
have it on their wall and the happiness
oh,
that it,
it
brings them, the memories.
Uh-huh.
And the beauty
yeah,
of it, you know how you touch people? You touch all
oh,
of these
yeah.
people that bought your work. I mean, you touch them.
Yeah,
and,
I love
and the
it.
Other
absolutely.
Thing, the other
it's
thing, Natalie.
That I'm doing the right thing. Uh-huh.
Sure
Natalie, the other thing is
yeah.
those people that accept you and they get those paintings or they support you, it's a network. They
it
tell
is.
Other people.
Uh-huh.
They tell other
right.
people.
Oh, they're the best promoters.
Yeah.
Actually, haters can be really good promoters, too, you know, because if they're talking shit, they're promoting for me. You know how many people I've had promote my art that actually didn't like my art, that posted it in a Big Brother forum,
yeah.
and then I got lots of views? I'm like, cool, thanks.
Yeah, yeah, my wife
I don't understand how nobody could like your, I mean, your art is just
well,
magnificent.
I don't know.
You have such a gift.
I agree, Natalie, because I've had some haters, and my wife told me, Jim, just let them talk. All
yeah, who cares?
All they're doing is promoting you. Everybody's going to come look at you.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've been spending the past 20 minutes just looking at all the art on your Facebook.
Oh, isn't it beautiful
you?
What she does? She's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they
you can
are,
see
Alexis.
How much better I've gotten, too, if you look from the beginning of the album to
they
the
are.
End of it. You can see my growth, you know, as an artist.
Yeah.
You keep doing something, you get better and better and better. And now I'm just getting so many visions coming through, like I can't keep up. I'm like, okay, spiritual family and angels, spirit guides, I'm getting overloaded here.
That's
I'm
so
getting
cool.
overloaded. You know, but it's awesome. I'm thankful because there's also times where I have no ideas. I have nothing coming through with me. Like when I was pregnant with Araya, I was sick with preeclampsia too, so I had absolutely no energy and I had no vision. The thought of even picking up a pencil just absolutely drained me. And so there was a time there for months that I had no visions. And then once I gave birth to Araya, I had all these visions just coming in, flooding in through me, just pouring into me. And I was like, okay, I got to start painting again. So, yeah.
Tim, you got anything else?
Yeah, actually, I had a couple of questions that I've been thinking about.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it, The first one was when you found out Jen and Ryan were a couple outside the game, what did you think of that?
Oh, my God, I was so shocked. And I was like, what the hell, too, because she was mad at Sharon. Mad at Sharon and Jacob, right? And then that's why she wanted to pick them out, was because they were a couple. And here she is. I'm like, man, we're just in a house full of hypocrites, aren't we, everybody? Everywhere you turn. Man, so, yeah, that was shocking. That's when I knew, okay, well, I don't think I can trust her anymore.
Right.
What else you got, Tim?
Okay, so the other question was, there's the one guy, Neil, that, like, quit a week in and we never heard from him on the show or anything. Do you know what happened with
never
that at all?
Never heard from him. I have no idea. He, like, disappeared from the planet. I have no idea what happened to him. I did find his, I think I found his Twitter or something, but we don't have any idea. We thought it was because he was doing Julie Chen impressions, and Julie Chen got mad and they kicked him out. That was our that's what we thought happened. Oh, you can't make fun of Julie Chen. You're going to get kicked off.
So you make fun of Julie Chen and you're vanished from the internet.
That's what we all thought.
Wow.
Because they used to do Julie Chen impersonations, you know, all the time. And they're like, oh, my God, is that what happens? You can't do Julie Chen impressions. And Matt was like, nobody do Julie Chen impressions.
Natalie, let me ask you this, because it's a ultimate low from going to kind of a high. When you left, that's the ultimate low.
Right.
You knew it was over, but
yep. Heart sank. It's horrible.
You get to go sit with Julie, which is kind of a high. You get to meet Julie.
Right.
So
yeah.
Was that hard to handle?
Yeah, I mean, it's an emotional pull. I mean, you're being pulled in so many different directions. There's so many thoughts going through your head. I'm in a state of shock. They just blindsided me. I thought for sure I had Ryan and Adam. I didn't even know how to process. Did this really happen? I'm such an idiot. Why did I drop? You freaking moron. You knew better. I told myself I was going to stay up there. Adam looked me dead in the eyes before the competition, grabbed me by the shoulders, and told me, you have to win. He knew they were after me, and he was trying to tell me without telling me, and I didn't. Listen, so I was just gutted, you know, and then to see Julie Chen, it's like, oh, hi, Julie, but I'm so sad. What's going on? It's over.
Yeah, Natalie, the thing I noticed when you walked out, you were carrying a bag over your shoulder that looked like it weighed about 100 damn pounds. You had a lot of clothes in that damn thing.
I mean, it did weigh as much as me. I mean, it felt like it. Carrying this giant thing, and then I was just so good. I was just like, God, I'm such an idiot. It's my own fault. I can't blame them. It was my own fault. I was the only one to blame. I could not blame them. I was mad at myself. I was so mad at myself.
I was so sad, Natalie. I was so sad watching it all. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was just like, God, you're such an idiot.
It was sad.
And I knew better, too, because I had told myself watching the season that I would never fall or drop for somebody. I wouldn't fall for their bullshit, and I did. I did.
But you were playing with your heart, though. She played your heartstrings. You were just being sweet.
Yep, I did.
But in Survivor history, it's a memorable moment for you sitting there talking to Julie, because you have a lot of fans, and most Big Brother players, they like talking to Julie. They just don't want to talk to her until it's over.
Right, until you win and you're running out with confetti.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve,
wild
what you
experience.
Got?
Who?
You know, I've just
Steve.
Honestly, I've just been listening to all the conversations that have been going on since I last came on the air. Pretty much everything that was going through my head has gotten answered one way or the other tonight.
Which you did good.
I was gonna. Oh yeah, terrific. I mean, I was gonna bring up you know, I was going to bring up, you know, how she feels she would do in the more recent seasons, but that kind of got answered already. So
right.
Yeah, I think
I would
do good. I do think I would do good. I'm pretty. I would still play dumber than a box of rocks. And I would play up on my age too. I'd be like, I'm old, you guys. I'm a cougar now. I'm not a young and, you know, funky girl anymore. I'm old. My muscles are old.
Well,
I can't win anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not though. But I would say that.
That's sort of true, Natalie. Natalie, that's sort of true now. But there are a lot of guys that like them cougars.
Oh,
and, and well. You would hope to think they would know, hey, she's married and she's got all these kids, and
yep.
I'm not going to treat her that way, but
mm-hmm.
you might could still pass it off, but I think your social game is what would benefit you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, I think
definitely.
So, too. I've always been naturally good with people. I can pretty much vibe with anybody, as long as you're not really rude to me. You know, like Josh near the end was getting pretty abrasive, and Chelsea was just all kinds of nasty.
Oh,
so I just
it was terrible.
You know, people like
honestly.
Her were just vile and just, ugh, you know.
Yes.
But for the most
very
part,
nasty.
I can vibe and I can get along with people. I mean, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
So
what do you think, Steve? What do you think, Steve? Shouldn't they bring back, like, old school versus new school?
Oh,
I would love it. I would love that. The problem
is... I think they need to. That would be fun.
We've mentioned this in previous on previous podcasts, in particular the Survivor ones that we've done. It's
yeah,
kind of like
Survivor.
The problem...
Uh-huh.
The problem now is that CBS is showing more of a bias toward new school players as opposed
yeah, they
to
already have been.
Old school players.
But what
yeah.
about what about a what about another returnee season and you do old school, new school?
I would love that.
Oh,
I think
that
would be fun.
That.
I mean,
I
after the last returnee season of Big Brother, I'm not so sure how good it would be to do another.
Because
BB22 ended up being a massive flop, and
mm-hmm.
there were lots
that was
of
a shame.
And there was lots of rumors of pre-gaming and things like that.
Oh
well,
yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
That
they
that
have
happened.
To keep a
top
secret.
The pre-gaming is kind of why you can't have a full returnee season, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Natalie, how would you handle that? How would you handle that if they came up with a old school, new school season, and they talked to you and said, I think we want to cast you, and rumors started going around within the Big Brother community, and... possible other cast members started messaging you saying, I think we're going to be on next season together. Can we get together and hook up? How would you deal with that? Would you be the person that says, I'm not getting into this yet? Or would you try to make those pregame alliances?
No, that's what I was going to say is I would have no idea. I would be like, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. Have fun. Good luck on the show. Have a good time. I would pretend I have
all
no
right.
idea what's going on. I don't have a clue. I'm a mom now. Nobody's asking me to go back. You know, I would just, again, play dumb. I don't know shit because I wouldn't want to get involved. I don't want to get into pregame alliances. I don't want to get dragged because things change. You don't know. I don't know them personally. So how could I make an alliance with somebody just based on a previous experience or if I might kind of like them? You know, things change once you're in the house. And there, you have natural pulls or
right.
people you gravitate towards, you know, naturally
right.
when you're in person with them. So I couldn't say for sure that I would want to be in alliance with those people. I would just play dumb. I'm not going on. Have fun. Good luck. have a good time. That's what I would say. And I'd keep it to myself, and then whatever happens, happens. And then I would say, and then if they were in the house with me, said, why didn't you align with me? Realize it's like, well, I'm feeling you now. Let's join up. What are you doing? Who did you
try to align
with,
you think?
Who else did you message? Huh?
Natalie, don't you think you would notice who the messages are coming from and you would understand, oh, they want to be Pope Paul. They want to be in charge of this.
Yeah, well, you can see they're obviously trying to pull strings. I mean, I think it would be pretty, pretty ballsy to just come up and out of the blue message me when you don't really know me. I mean, maybe for someone from my season, I could see maybe messaging me if they got a message or something. But I highly doubt anybody from any other season would ever contact me, honestly. I really don't think so. I feel like I'm an underestimated player, and Big Brother 9's kind of forgotten about. I really don't think, you know, like you said, the new school players tend to get more of attention. I think they all gravitate and get with each other, and they're all going to these reunions and all these. I don't go to any of that stuff. I don't do any of these events. So I don't know any of these people. I'm not, like, involved in the Big Brother community like a lot of these other ones are.
Well, I can tell you this. If it was going to be a all-star season with something like old school, new school, and your name was being rumored, you would hear from people you probably don't know.
Yeah, probably.
And you would have to deal with, do I engage in this or do I just stay silent and play my game?
I mean, when I get there. That's what I would do. Honestly, I would stay silent. That's not my personality. I don't like to to me, it's just not organic. I like things to be natural and organic. I don't like things to be pre-planned. That's just not my personality. I want to be surprised just as much as everybody else wants to be surprised. You know,
right.
I want to see, I don't want to be like, that to me is not fair. And then if anybody did message me, all right, cool. Now I know. Maybe, who knows if I'd even message them back. Maybe I might just leave the message unread or read and never reply. And just know that that person tried to pre-align with me. Remember that if they're in the house.
Right, right. And the reason I bring this up is, Natalie, the reason I bring this up is it's happened in Survivor. There's been alliances made before they even left the United States to go film.
Yeah, so that's not fun. They need to find a way to get better. They used to be so good about keeping everything secret. Like when I auditioned for Big Brother, they had a whole system where everybody had a handler and you have a workout time at this hotel. Like I didn't even, you know, I saw Maddie in an elevator through crossing once. Like he was going in the elevator as I was going into my door room or something. And I knew he had to be in a possibility for a house guest. So we just somehow missed each other. But they're so good at okay, Natalie, you're going to eat at 1 o'clock. The next person will be eating at 1:30. You know, they always made sure that we were in the same hotel during auditions, that we never saw each other. This person checked in at that time. I never saw anybody. I just remember I did see Amanda and Maddie through passing in the hallway somewhere, but we never actually interacted or sat down or had lunch or, you know, I didn't know who they were. I mean, anybody could be anybody auditioning. I just assumed, oh, you know, good-looking guy, you know, pretty girl, long hair, you know, maybe they're auditioning, but nobody knew, you know, and my pool time would be like noon. Okay, Natalie, you get noon to 12:30, you know, and so we wouldn't ever see. I didn't see anybody else, you know, and then we did see each other when we went to the CBS production, the studios there. We went there and we met. We had to stay in two separate rooms, girls on one side, guys on the other. That's when they were like down
right.
in the top 50. And that was
right.
our final interview where we got to meet all the producers and everybody. And, you know, that's when we saw each other, but we couldn't talk. We were told there was a person in there. Nobody's allowed to say each other. Don't even look at
right.
each other. Everybody look at the book or look at your leg. Look at your hands. Close your eyes. Chelsea put a pillow over her head and took a nap. You know? But, yeah,
wow.
So that's how it was. But, yeah,
okay.
I like it to be organic. I want to be surprised. I that's the fun of the game. That's the whole point, to bring strangers together, to see how they're going to interwork, how they're going to work together, who's going to get along. You know, that's the whole fun of it. It's like a human experiment. It's like some kind of a psychological experiment, you know?
Yeah, you would be –
It's not fun. It's planned.
You would be a great cast member who didn't give anything away. Daniel, your thoughts on all of this?
Maybe he's gone.
No, he's still connected.
See?
Oh.
Yeah, he's still connected. I don't know. Maybe he stepped away from the phone or something.
All right, Tim, what about you? Tim, what do you think about all this, about the difference in casting?
Well, I just think it's whole. Basically a bunch of wannabe Instagram influencers now, and that kind of has ruined it a lot.
That's true, yeah.
A lot of them have never seen the show before going in.
And I will sadly say I have very good friends who have fallen into that trap.
I mean, it's easy to do. You know, people are easily influenced by one another, and it's hard to, you know, I mean, especially if they're already friends. Like, let's say, you know, again, I don't go to all these Big Brother reunions and all this stuff. If they know each other through partying with each other and through, you know, Big Brother reality TV events, then, yeah, there's going to be a greater chance that they're friends, so how could they not discuss it with each other?
Right.
You know, but someone like me, I don't interact with them like that. So I'm not close to them in that way where I don't think they would, you know, honestly contact me, because I'm not in that reality world where everybody, we all drink together and we go partying.
But Natalie, the only thing is if someone leaked your name out there and said, Natalie is probably in the cast of the next Big Brother, old school, new school, then you've got that problem.
Then I would just like, well, whatever, guys, rumors. I'm a mom. I'm at home busy taking care of children. You know, I'm a home mom. I'm a homebody. I stay at home all day with kids. I'm raising children. I'm not going anywhere. What are you talking about? You guys are nuts. I wish.
That's good.
That's what I do.
That's good. That's good that you would handle it that way. That's good.
That's what I would do. Just rub it off. Whatever, guys. Have fun. Good luck. That's my past. Like, good times. Good times. Right on. Thank you. Have a great time.
Yeah. Kansas, don't you like that approach with someone that, I mean, it's hypothetical because she hasn't been cast for another season, but
we wish she would be, though.
I know we do. We would love to see her back. But don't you like her approach to that? That, no, I'm not sitting here playing Big Brother before I even leave home. You know, I'm doing what I got to do. I don't even know if I'm on the show. Don't you like her approach other than someone who says, hey, yeah, I'm on the show. Let's hook up.
Exactly. Natalie knows her shit. Let's be honest. This is why she'd be so great on Big Brother. She knows what she's doing.
And you know what I would do when I got there and they saw me? I'd be like, surprise, bitches!
I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Natalie, you can walk in and say, I didn't lie to you. I would take care of my kids, but here I am.
It's mom time now. What's going on? Represent.
Exactly.
Represent all the positive people in the world, you tree huggers. What's up? I'm back, 15 years in the making, whatever. You know, I know I'm
That's
old
true.
School, I'm ancient. But, yeah, let's get this game back on track, shall we?
Yes, let's go back to older Big Brother style. I agree.
We've got to turn this around. Let's turn the dynamics of this game, because where they're headed south, and they're headed south fast. They're lucky they're actually still on. I'm surprised it hasn't been canceled already.
Yes, exactly, Natalie. I mean, if it was canceled, I wouldn't be heartbroken. I really wouldn't.
I wouldn't either anymore, and that's sad. I would be heartbroken, you know, maybe 10 years ago, But now,
oh, hell yeah.
Whatever.
Now I
tend to like other shows like
that.
Now I'm more into shows like MasterChef Australia and, what is it, Married at First Sight New Zealand or Australia. I like all the other countries' shows a little bit better now lately. I've been really into them, like Big Brother Canada. I mean, all the other countries, they've got some really good shows. I don't know if you see any of them, but I've got some streaming sites that I have, you know, where I can watch all these fun shows from other countries.
You watch
and
any
they're a little bit more lighthearted
survivors?
And fun. Huh?
You watch any of the international survivors?
Oh, yes, I love Australian Survivor. They are awesome. Talk about game players. Have you watched that?
Yeah, I've seen every season of that. I've also seen the South African one.
Oh, I don't think I've seen the South African one. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I actually think that's probably better than Australian Survivor.
Oh,
wow.
Is it really? God, Australian Survivor just had me. I was like, dude, they're so good. Look at how they play. Oh, my God. They're like geniuses, man.
They are.
Okay,
I want to
bring it back to Steve. I want to bring it back to Steve and see if he's got any other questions or comments.
You know what? I think I would probably say this from what we were talking about when it came to the casting. Literally the biggest, I think, where we saw this game officially shift was, when they officially went HD with Big Brother 16, you know, they were still casting game players. I mean, they cast Derek,
uh-huh.
You know, who completely controlled that season.
And what's her name? What's the other girl? With the beanies all the time. Vanessa?
Oh, Vanessa. Yeah. But it seems
a good
like
gamer.
Now all of a sudden, ever since Les Moonves left and everything, and they did the whole Me Too movement and everything, it's kind of come down to where now Big Brother has basically been all, like we mentioned before, all completely woke, where... Oh, we need to make sure that 50% of our cast is either of color or just, you know, of one specific like African American or something, which is why we ended up seeing the cookout. And you know, I want to bring this question up because we kind of discussed this on previous shows. Do you see the way that they've been casting, not just on Big Brother, but also on Survivor, with, you know, these all-black alliances starting to form, do you think there could be a potential race war that may end up?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely baiting. I mean, they're definitely pushing these ideas. This is what they want. You know, these are divisions, distractions. This is what they like to do. You know, you've got to divide and conquer. And what best way to do it? Because I'm telling you right now, I mean, I know I'm not African-American. I don't experience racism personally, you know, but I have family members that are black, actually. My brother's sister, or my brother, my boyfriend Jesse, or my husband, whatever, common law husband, Jesse's sister married a black guy, and they have three black children, so I have three, you know, black nieces and nephews. And, you know, we've got my dad is Filipino, you know, his Filipino wife, and so we've got a lot of diverse people in my family, and I've never seen them. They've never told me that they've been experienced racism. I also went to an all-black school in Alameda, California. I lived there next to Oakland when I was 14 years old, and when I was there, everybody was so awesome and so nice. I was 14, 15 years old. I was the minority. I was the white girl. You know what my nickname was for basketball team? They called me Vanilla. Okay? It was a fun thing. Nobody took offense to it. I didn't think, oh, you guys are racist,
right.
You know. It was fun. I was Vanilla. I was a blonde white girl on the basketball team, and I was the most valuable player. Okay, like I was a good game player, and I never experienced racism, none of it. And all my friends, I mean, I have so many black friends from high school or middle school when I went and lived there for 3 years, and I never experienced any kind of racism. So in life, you have to ask yourself, are you personally experiencing racism? Do you know people of color that are personally being persecuted or personally being attacked? I don't see it. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm naive to some of it, but I don't personally see it. I mean, I'm not. And I have lots of black friends, and they never tell me, and I ask them, are you experiencing any kind of racism or hateful treatment? Absolutely not. They have the opportunities just like everybody else. They've, you know, look at all the football players and all the celebrities and everybody. They have privileges. Those are privileges to make all that money, millions of dollars to play a sport and stuff. Like, where's this racism that they're constantly talking about? I'm trying to find it in life. And sometimes I have to remember that TV, it's just a show. Everything you're watching, if you can look at everything as just like a show and try not to take everything too personal, you know, it's just one big show. They have agendas they want to push. They have ideas. They want to create, our thoughts and our reality. And they want to keep us on a low vibration, because if you're on a low vibration, you cannot live your best life. And you cannot be the best person that you can be when you're so enveloped in the blame game and in the who's doing what. Like, you know, this whole, it's ridiculous. And so I don't experience it, you know. I know some people have. I mean, Parker from my season says he has and stuff. And, you know, he gets into a lot of race debates and stuff. But, you know, in life, do you personally experience it? Do your African-American friends or black friends or people of color and of different sexual orientation, are they experiencing this? Because I have lots of, gay friends, and they don't tell me that they're being experienced being discriminated against or anything like that. So I'm trying to see it, but I don't see it. And so it makes me wonder, why are they doing this? Why weren't they doing this 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Why is it now a thing?
On the news, you know, the whole George Floyd and all of that. It's just really bringing all of that really came to a head, and that's
creating a nasty energy. Yeah, and it's creating a hostile kind of energy, and it's creating the division among people and a judgment, and it's not good. You know, people need to rise above it and see what's really going on here. Look at the bigger picture. You know, ultimately, I believe humans can get along with each other, and I don't really see a lot of freaking skinheads going around or whatever, like Nazis or anything. I don't see people in caves. I don't see people out there mistreating. I mean, from when I go out in public and when I'm out and about in town, I see nothing but kindness. And I don't see people getting in fights. I don't know where people are getting all these brawls at Walmart and stuff. Like, what is this about? I've never seen a brawl at Walmart.
Yeah, that's really
crazy.
See, out
here where I live, it's pretty bad, Natalie. Kansas.
It's really crazy.
That's horrible. See, again, it depends on where you live and all different factors, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But,
that's true. Let me thank Natalie for coming on here tonight. And Natalie, you were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to have you back at any time to do whatever you wanted to do. And I want to give everyone a chance to say goodnight to you, because the pod is coming to an end.
Okay.
Thank you, girlfriend.
Thank you, everybody. It was a wonderful conversation we had. I love talking with all of you. Thank you so much for all of your positive vibes and love and everything.
Thanks for joining us, Natalie.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thank you.